Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 118.
Hello.
My name is Christopher Riccio, and I'm here with Travis Baum.
Hello.
And Jeff Chorney.
What up?
Hello.
Today we are going to be reading your contest entries for our God of War 3 contest. This should be interesting.
I am legitimately excited. I am too.
There were some pretty good ones that I've seen so far, and it should be interesting. It's going to be tough to call, I think, but by the end of the feature, there is going to be a winner, and next week sometime, you will be getting an email from me, and I will be sending you a $20 gift card to Amazon. But before we do that, we're going to start talking about some games, we're going to do some news, and then after the feature, we're going to do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week.
Sounds good.
But we always have to start out by saying, Travis.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, buddy. I got to get something off my chest.
Uh-oh.
Is this something
you can say for a Dear X? Because we might want to... Sorry.
It would be Dear Random People, because it's about
Dear Random Motherfuckers.
I'm not going to name any
That's fine. That
names.
Could be a Dear X.
I'm not going to name any names, but okay. This goes back to last week's conversation about BioShock. Jeff and I were talking about how I felt BioShock wasn't as... when you're shooting the pinpoint accuracy... there's just more accuracy needed for BioShock 2, and I mentioned the iron sights thing and everything, and Jeff was like, there's iron, okay, people, I understand. You can use iron sights in the first game. I get it now, I understand, because after that show came out, guys, I kid you not, okay, of course, like, 3 or 4 people responded in the thread. I got a VG Evo, private message. I got 2 emails in my Interactive Distractions mailbox, and this morning at work, I got a direct message on Twitter. Hey, you can use iron sights. Okay, I get it. You can fucking use iron sights. I get it. It's cool.
I'll even call him out, Captain Harlock, actually. He sent me an email today. He's like, yeah, by the way, you can use sights. I'm like, yeah, way to be late to the party, dude. I've been told that like 5 times. Like, I didn't
funny
know
how I didn't get any of those messages.
I think, I don't think, yeah.
Because I wasn't saying a word
the entire
BioShock conversation last week.
Thinking back, I do remember it having it now, but I never use it because I thought it worked so terrible in the first one. So I didn't use it ever. And then I just totally forgot about it and didn't even try in the second one.
So.
Yeah. Get used to it, Travis. That's,
dear
that's
random people.
and
I understand.
That's something that we should just have a special segment just on, like, corrections.
Scott Sauer would fill that whole thing up.
The whole thing. That's what she said.
Dude, I mean, seriously, he would, because he starts an email thread about conversations while he's listening to our show.
Well, actually, the way you pronounced
this is this part.
He calls it the Salumentary or something.
Yeah,
like
Salumentary.
Actually,
love you, Scott.
We love you, Scott.
It would be all Scott and repeat.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's cool. Keep us on our toes.
That's right.
That's right. But
nothing makes us work nothing harder. Big going on, man. Just preparing for the big Mass Effect special.
Mass Effect.
I'm really excited about it,
dude. So. I am stoked. I'm actually thinking about tomorrow night, importing my character from the game that I beat already.
Mm-hmm.
Sticking it on easy and just blowing through the game quickly, like not doing any side quests or anything, just to see what happens.
May as well.
Spoiler, everybody's going to die.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to happen. Expect it. So, but that's it for me, man. Just getting ready for Saturday. I'm excited.
Cool, cool. Jeff, what's up, man?
Nothing. Just enjoyed the U.S. Hockey team getting the spank put on them by the Canadian hockey team for the gold medal. Yay. And by the time this comes out, this will be on a Monday, so... I might as well automatically start rubbing in your face that how is silver bitches for men's hockey. Just saying.
Yeah, but didn't
America already beat them in the round robin?
Yeah, that's all right though. I mean, every good team has to lose at some point, right? So, Canada got it out of their system. Like, okay, we'll lose them now, and this shit won't happen. And they came out against Russia yesterday. Ooh, wow! I was afraid. I actually thought Canada might have a chance of losing yesterday, but they ended up beating Russia 7-3. So,
man, I've seen some scores in the hockey games that are ridiculous. Like, I saw one the other day. It was like 24-1. Holy like crap. In hockey? Holy crap. How
that is
that
pretty
possible?
Ridiculous.
And yeah, it's just crazy. It's like there are some teams that there are some countries that should just it's like why are you bothering? It's like okay, here's one.
Well, you have to fill the brackets.
Yeah, that's true. Slovakia apparently has a hockey team and they lost or women's hockey team and they lost to Canada 18-0.
That was the women's, all right?
Yeah, that was women's.
The women's, like, USA and Canada women's hockey teams
are just
so
creaming
far
everybody.
Ahead
They're just
of
creaming
every other
everybody.
Country. Yeah. It's so gross. And the thing is, the Olympics, they have a point system, so the more goals you score, the more points you get. So it's not even that whole, in like hockey and along with a lot of other sports, you don't run up the score if you have a big lead. It's just something you don't do if you're totally dominating.
Right.
But in the Olympics, if you're getting points for it, there's no incentive not to stop scoring. So it's like, all right, yeah. We'll score 24 goals to nothing. But yeah, it's funny how I'm really into the Olympics now, where the first week I wasn't too into it, mainly because a lot of it's qualifying stuff, but this week I've been pretty much glued to the TV and haven't even played that many games because of it, but yeah. Big Olympic week for me.
Cool.
That's about
cool.
it. What about
yeah,
you?
That's awesome. Not much over here, you know. Same old stuff. We're getting ready for Liam. That's pretty much occupies our... occupies my non-gaming time. So.
Well, we had a good time last week.
Yeah, we did. Last weekend, we had our little... Crystal doesn't like to call it a shower.
It was a shower.
The baby... It was a shower.
It was a shower. Come on.
We had our little baby party. And,
it's more like a bath.
Came over and, it's amazing to see how creative people can get because we had like a couple of like little things that we were doing, like the little crafting projects that we had for people to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is like making onesies and then making like alphabet tiles and... Some of the shit that happened just, and actually it was Jason's wife pretty much started the tiles. Like she grabbed D and then starts drawing like a D on it with a dragon in the background and shit. And it's like, holy crap. And then everybody's like breaking out the tiles and doing all this creative crap with them. And it was pretty cool to see what people came up with. So yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, there was some cool shit.
Yeah. And we drank some more homebrew. So that was good too.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that is it for me. So let's jump right into game talk. Travis, right. What's distracting you?
Heavy rain.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting to hear about this. I've been waiting to hear about it. Did you beat it? Did you beat it already?
Dude, I'm almost done with beating it twice.
Oh, wow.
All right. Yeah, I heard it's not that long. It's like 6 hours or so.
No. The first playthrough was about closer to 8 for me.
Okay.
But
that's
I took my time.
Bad.
I tried to, you know... Like I said, characterization and story is like the big deal for me, so I try to put myself in their position. Like a lot of people that criticize the game were like, you know, I don't want to sit there and brush my teeth. I don't want to sit there and open up the window and lean over the balcony for a little bit. You know, I did. I liked doing that. You know, they made the developers, you know, made doing these little mundane things like open up your bedroom, the sliding door and
fireball motion to open up a door.
Well, just like leaning over the balcony and they, you know, they play this music, just kind of set the tone. It's like, man, it just puts you in this position, to where you're like, man, okay, I like this, this world that I'm being introduced to and it's really, really nice. But I like the game, but I'm going to blow your mind by saying this. It probably will not be on my game of the year list. Not because it's bad. I do love the game, but when it comes down to it, game of the year is game of the year. This, even though I do consider it a game, it's really more of just
an
interactive experience. Exactly. And when it comes down to naming our top five game of the year, it's going to be more of the gamey things for me. Now, when it comes down to like, if we ever had a story of the year, this would definitely be on it. But,
okay.
Yeah. But that being said, I still love this game. It's everything I wanted it to be. From where Indigo Prophecy was to Quantic Dream's next step to what this game, what I wanted it to be, it was.
Nice.
There are its issues. Well, go ahead. Are you going to ask them?
I was just going to say, because it sounds like there's no BS in this, like there is an Indigo Prophecy.
No. It's all embedded in realism. It's all embedded in that. Like, this could happen, I guess you can say, in a way.
Okay.
Yeah, it could happen. But yeah, I enjoy it. The characters are amazing. The four playable characters that you are. And actually, there are more than four playable characters, but that's getting more into spoiler territory. Let me go with some of the issues I have. Because, you know, I could sit here and tell you all the things I like about this game, and they're the obvious things, pretty much the same things that I love about Indigo Prophecy, you know, characters, okay, the stage that you're playing in and everything. But there are some problems. There are some serious technical issues with this game. Serious, serious issues.
How many times did it freeze up on
it? It froze up about 3 times.
Really?
About 3 times. And
now,
one
is it
those,
like in the middle of a big event or something?
No, just
or, I mean,
in
that?
The middle of when you're messing with the controller or doing a QTE or anything like that, that's when it'll just freeze up on you. Wow. I was getting to the point where I was worried that it was going to freeze up on me in the middle of saving. Because every time you do an action, every single action you make, it saves. Like, there's no going back. You have to save it. Like, if you're getting to the point where you may think your character's about to die, you better restart your game and start, 'cause if you pass that point of no return, it saves. That decision you made is locked. Whether you pass or fail, it is locked in and you gotta move on. And I was worried it was gonna get to the point where it was gonna autosave and it was gonna freeze up on me. So, yeah, it froze up on me 3 times throughout my first playthrough and once already for my second playthrough. There is some technical issues. Even though the game looks great, going, you know, graphically, even though the game looks really, really, really good, I love the way it looks. Screen tearing is really, really bad. Like during
that's a shame.
Yeah, like it's just kind of
bad. That's surprising.
It is surprising. It's not
because you're
every
not really,
scene. It's mainly on the parts of the game where you don't control. So more of the
that's where I think it's surprising, because you're not controlling the camera, and you figure they'd render that in engine instead of.
It's
you know,
interesting.
So it
like it'll tear just a little bit, and but it happens. You know. Rather often that I've noticed. And then another issue that I have is talk about the plot real quick. The story from start to finish is really, really solid. And I was criticizing Mark for on Twitter. I was jokingly criticizing him because he was like, this game is really good aside from all the plot holes. And I made a joke. I said, coming from a Lost fan, you're complaining about plot holes in Heavy Rain? Come on now. And which I joke because I'm a big
nice.
Fan of Lost as well. But you know what? He was right. There are some serious plot holes, because there's about 3 or 4 instances in the story where I'm like, wait a minute, what about that? No, wait, what about this? How did he do this? That doesn't explain this. How was this there? And it happens very, very often. So I was surprised to see, because I thought it was just going to be a spooge fest for me, and oh, no plot holes. It was perfect. It was perfect in every way. But yeah, it definitely has its issues.
Well, it's good, though, because you can look at it objectively and not be
right.
I'm a fan of this type of game in the first one, so automatically it gets, like, a pass on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Which a lot of people can't do.
yeah. So it's definitely not an OMG game for me on the whole. But, you know, certain aspects, Quantic Dream has an opportunity there to make it better. But when you look at the things that I really care about, you know, the characters and the story and the setting, that is what is amazing. That is what's basically OMG for me, because I mean it's got a like so many twists and turns and plots where you think one thing, you think the other, and then boom, something else happens. I mean, it is amazing what they can do with story, how the story leads up, how it directs you to the ultimate ending and everything. And after I beat the game, just reading the other endings people have, especially on the VG Evo forum thread, there is some depressing stuff, like the way it handles, like the way, like the smallest decision here or missed decision there will completely change your ending. I think my first playthrough, I ended up getting the best ending, because, I mean, it was, for the most part, happy all the way through. But reading things that people said and how they got those decisions, I'm like, wow, you didn't do too much different than me. And your ending was completely different. Completely different. So I'm really excited. Like I said, I jump right back into a second playthrough, and about halfway done with my second playthrough to see other ways that I can fix it. But another thing I'm going to try to do after that is I do want to test the limits of the game, because the developer is like, oh yeah, all these characters can die. They can all be, which I know they can, but I'm getting the feeling that they were kind of toying with us with their words. You can't die in every scene. Even all the action scenes, like, even if you just drop the controller, you that character's story still continues on. And I want
to
see
how... Oh, yeah, because I heard about this. Doesn't it, like, default to a choice if you don't select one?
Exactly. Like, yeah, It'll do that in some instances, because even though, yes, you have the ability to change and alter how the game goes down the path, there's still an overarching story, a set plot line that starts from A to Z.
So the characters can't die, or they
can? They can, but in certain... Like, the game won't let a certain character die until 75% of the game, when...
Oh, until a certain point.
Until their overall important story is told. And when they get to the point, I guess you can see it as a point of no return. Once they cross the line of, okay, you've seen enough of their story to where the game can continue without them, then that character can die. But for one for one or two characters, that's, like, up to the end of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, so they kind of toyed with you. They kind of made you think that, hey, you could play this game for 2 hours and it can be all over because everybody can die. That's what they were kind of putting in people's heads.
Yeah, it's kind of a draw, though. Because, I mean, Mass Effect did the same thing. Like, yeah, Shepard could die, but I think it's harder to have Shepard die than it is to beat that game and have everyone survive.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is really hard.
I think you actually have to try
yeah.
to have him.
You
not
have
live.
To do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I'm gonna do. One of my next playthroughs after this second one, so my third playthrough, I'm gonna do my best to try to, I guess, not break the game, but just do as bad as possible and see how far into the story that leads me. I'm really interested in seeing how that's gonna do. But Heavy Rain was really, really good. I cannot wait for you guys to play it, Chris. If you remind me, like, while we're on Breaker or whatnot, for these Mass Effect special, I'll bring it over so we can just toy around with it. It's really fun.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Other things that I've been playing, I finally got around to playing Brutal Legend. I'm really enjoying it so far, but I have not gotten into the real-time strategy part yet.
I
had a great time for that first stage.
About two or three stages into it. Like,
yeah.
It's still not real-time strategy. You're still, like, controlling little bits of
the army.
What
that's doing, though, is training you to do the real-time strategy stuff.
Exactly. And I don't think I'm going to hate it as much because I'm completely prepared for it. You know, my expectations are right on the ground. But I know that there are going to be some serious problems once I get to these, you know, these strategy elements. And not elements, like full-on strategy game. So I'm curious to see how my attention is going to carry when I get to that area. Before I bring up the next games, Jeff, I feel really, really bad for you, buddy. Really, really bad for you. Because, you know, last week you had just talked about how you traded in some games at GameStop.
And then the week after,
they do this big promotion to where you get an extra 50 to 60% off on all your trade-ins. And I was like, man, he just traded in those games and now they're going to do this. But I went ahead and sucked it up and brought in some games. It was just too good of a deal.
Bad for me?
Well, yeah, because you could have gotten more money and then you got screwed. It's like, you know, buying a game on Steam for $20 and then a week later, hey, it's a 75% sale. It's $5 now. This shit like that sucks.
Oh, I got the deal I did with those. I got a better deal than that because I did the whole trade in three, get one free. And all my games were like the minimum they could be, so.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so it just would be, but I hear what you're saying though, because I actually went in today and was like, do you guys have the same deal that's going on in the States, 50%? Like, no. Like,
oh, so that's an American thing.
It's just an American thing right now, yeah.
Wow. Okay, interesting. So anyway, I've always been wanting to give me some older games. Some games I haven't played, some games I have played for nostalgia fact, just to have them back in my collection. You know, I got about $90, $80 to $90 worth of credit for three games.
That's pretty damn good.
Wow. It's really, really good. It was $83, I think it was.
It's good for GameStop.
Yeah, it's
really good for GameStop. So, of course, I went ahead and I had a little bit of money on Heavy Rain, so I pretty much went and paid it off.
Cool.
I picked up three games. One game I haven't played. And two games that I have that I wanted to go back to. The game that I haven't played was Crackdown.
Okay.
I finally picked up Crackdown.
Good. So you've never played that before?
Never played it.
Oh, wow.
So how can you possibly say that it's not a superhero game?
It just doesn't feel like it.
I was supposed to say, actually, I think it was Lag, Life as a Gamer, sent in an email to...
To Player, Player One Podcast?
Yeah.
Did you listen to that?
I haven't listened to it yet. Nobody said... He told me he sent an email saying a couple guys on Indus think that Crackdown isn't a superhero game. Do you agree or disagree? And everyone was basically like, it's definitely a superhero game, and if you don't agree to that, you're pretty much an idiot or something like that.
I was actually going to email them and tell them, thank you!
It doesn't seem superhero to me. Like, it
wait
just,
until
wait,
you
just
get
wait.
Some orbs. Yeah.
Just wait it until just, you're leaping over buildings in a single bound.
It just, okay, I guess. Well, I'm already...
And throwing cars.
I've only been playing the, like, maybe an hour and a half, and I'm already at level 2 on the jumping ability.
Agility,
like, I've killed a couple of bosses, and then I've done nothing but roam around and look for agility spheres. Like, I can already tell that gets
crack,
really addicting.
It is super addictive.
Like, oh,
that,
man,
it is ridiculously
addictive.
I'm not a collector whore, but that is the only game where if I saw one of those things,
you
I
went
was
out
going
of your way
it.
To get it.
Yeah, yeah. That is the only game that's ever. And I think it comes down to the sound, because once it's in your vicinity, you can hear it going like, wom,
yeah.
Wom, like, okay,
yeah.
Where is it? I know it's around here. I want to be able to jump 10 feet higher.
So I'm really
man,
enjoying it. Just roaming too. Around, it's fun. I don't like
cool.
I don't like the targeting system. It's really, really
no,
clunky, but I know this is a really old game, and targeting systems, especially lock-on systems, have really, really evolved to better things. But I enjoy the shit out of it. And another reason was I really wanted to play this game first before Crackdown 2 came out.
Yeah,
I
Crackdown
wanted to get a taste
really
of what
good.
The next game was going to be. So.
Well, we should do some co-op for sure, because I just started a new character a while back. And
oh, good.
Nice.
Please. Yeah. I want to play with some, because I can tell that I will get bored with this if I don't play co-op.
And I could, you can bring in one of your more powerful characters, Jeff, and let him kill you.
And
then he can pick
weapons.
Up all your good weapons, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
true.
Sweet.
So you can get, like, the homing rocket launcher with, like, your low-level character.
I would do that if it wasn't for the fact that I erased my character by accident. Hence why
well, I'll get in a game with you guys, and I'll let you steal my
there
weapons.
There you go, yeah.
Sweet. Another game I picked up was, in my opinion, a phrase that Scott coined was a Travis absolute, but to me this is absolutely the best Spider-Man game ever.
Shadows, Web of Shadows.
No, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
The cel shaded one. I just think it's just since it's cel shaded and it's not as heavy on like the at the time the PS2's processor, I guess. It just ran so smooth, like it was just like butter. And I like the art style. I'm not a fan of the Ultimate timeline, but just the way the game runs, the things you can do, like the race, you can race against Johnny Storm, and every time you beat him, you get upgrades to your swinging. You can swing faster, more accurately, and everything. It's a great, great Spider-Man game. Aside from Spider-Man and everything, the city looks like crap. I mean, the enemies look like crap. The NPCs look like
typical
crap.
Typical Spider-Man
but,
game.
But it is. Such a fun game. I could just sit and swing and just have a great time. It's a really, really good game. And I just wanted that one back. So,
have you played Web of Shadows?
I did for a little bit and I just could not get into it.
I love
the
swinging in that. That's what kept me playing. And the fact that you can change between like regular Spider-Man and Black Suit Spider-Man on the fly was pretty awesome.
Well, the cool thing about Ultimate Spider-Man is the gameplay split between Spider-Man and Venom.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also be Venom too, and Venom plays completely
cool.
different. Like instead of swinging,
does he play
as Spider-Man,
like a tank though?
He plays like a tank, but also instead of swinging to get through a city fast like Spider-Man does, instead of swinging, he jumps like Crackdown style. Like he jumps mad crazy high. Yeah, and he like eats little kids. Like it's weird.
He eats little.
It's weird. Like he kills kids like in the game.
So wait, Venom can jump really high. He's really strong. Doesn't really swing or uses webs.
Well, like
guy in Crackdown, really strong, can jump really high. doesn't use any webs.
Hold on, if we're gonna revisit this, I wanted to run this by you. When I listened to what they were saying about it on Player One podcast, they made a really good point. It's basically the Hulk reskinned who uses guns.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a really good point. I agree. So there you go. Sorry, continue.
Okay. And then the last thing I picked up, Jeff, was the God of War collection.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So now happy for you.
You're all grown up, man.
Now I've played God of War 1 and 2. I played them before.
Okay.
But it's never been this pretty.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's
never
pretty.
I I agree with what you said when you had first played it. The cutscenes look like ass.
Yeah, they do.
It looks really bad. But the gameplay is crystal clear. I mean,
yeah,
I can't
frames,
imagine. Oh, it's beautiful. I can't imagine God of War looking like God of War 1 looking
isn't
that good.
Isn't it so much better than Dante's Inferno?
Well, better than the demo. And okay, I get it now. I see where you went with that.
I see what you did there, Jeff. I see what you did there.
I'm excited to see what God of War 2 is going to look like, because I know that game just looks...
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it looks better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really
so
good.
So, I'm really, really excited about that. I'm a couple hours...
Now, I got in a couple of discussions with people here, there, in a forum, and I... Technically, okay, Dante, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but Dante's Inferno is probably, it's pushing more polygons than everything in God of War, no question about it. But Charles, after you play 2, let me know which game you thought looked better overall, like Dante's Inferno or God of War 2 in HD.
Okay, well, I mean,
then again, you haven't played Dante's Inferno, so that's really not fair. Yeah.
I mean, I can still go by the demo, which I think the game looked okay.
That's true, yeah.
I think Dante's Inferno is going to be really strong in terms of, like, the stages, especially early on. Like, I heard some of the stages are really, really just neat. Like,
oh, the first 3 levels are really good.
Yeah. And then
they all look
shitty.
The same.
They get shittier later, right? Like, they get...
Yeah, they get... You can tell, like, they're like, hey, we got to get this game out, because it's...
We're running out of money.
And I'm going to actually compare it again to God of War 2, because the first God of War kind of did that, not in terms of levels, but in terms of, like, in God of War 1, there was, like, some... pretty big, it opened up with the Hydra. But then there was not really a big boss battle like that for quite a long time. And Dante's Inferno has that same issue where the first couple bosses were awesome and massive and pretty epic, and then they go straight downhill until the last boss of the game. And then, yeah. So
yeah,
kind of,
yeah.
Just another similarity between the two of them.
Well, we're looking at I was looking at the calendar, and as long as something doesn't get delayed and pushed back, July and August, we're going to have... That's, like, for me, is going to be the only time where I can get...
Like, downtime?
Some downtime to maybe jump into Dante's Inferno, so we'll see if I can revisit it before then, because after August, Madden comes out, and I'll be on that for a whole month. So, so anyway, and then other than that, just jump back in, because sometimes I just got to destroy buildings with a hammer, and I had to get into a little red faction.
Oh,
and
man, I can't wait until my copy shows up.
Oh, it's so
yeah,
good.
Lucky American.
You can't
hey,
get it.
You guys yes, win no, hockey medals, we get Red Faction.
It wasn't open from friggin' to Canadians, only in the U.S.
Yeah,
like,
why?
I bought
that's
Darksiders
weird.
2
Wait a minute,
on
is
day
it,
1.
Is it region locked, or can we buy it and send it to you?
No, you. Is it region locked?
I don't.
What do you. You could have got it and sent it to me. Yeah, that's easy.
Okay, then
done.
You need to have one of us give it to you, because
well,
it's fucking awesome.
Well, no, we have Red Faction.
Then what's the problem?
Like the problem is the with I'm not sure
the,
if you know
the free,
Darksiders.
The free Darksiders offer is not valid in Canada.
Oh, that's right. They're giving away Red Faction.
The free copy.
Oh, it was the pre-order code that you
it was
had.
The,
it
no,
was,
just
yeah,
the, it
was
for, the
it was
first
print. Shipment.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. When you buy it at launch. Okay, that's
right.
Yeah,
right.
And they had this card or this code, and everyone's like, what the hell is this? And I honestly thought it was going to be something dumb, like an extra skin. They're like, oh, no, you get a free copy of Red Faction 2 and an extra disc with a bunch of other crap on it.
Nice.
Like art and stuff like that. I'm like, that is pretty damn cool.
Still
and apparently they're giving a copy
though.
Of Saints Row 2 away for free with something, too. I just
but
can't
you,
remember what that is.
But you had to mail it in, though, right?
Like,
no, you just had to go to the you just had to go on the website.
Go on the website
the
and plug in the code. You pay $5 shipping, and they send it to you.
So now these companies are resorting to fucking rebates for their games.
Hey, but if I can pay $5 for a game that is pretty damn good and didn't even come out a year ago, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's,
I'm good with that.
It's awesome. All right, cool. I'm glad
it's
you're
not like they're giving me Lair or anything like that. Too human.
You have to pay me to take Lair.
So, Chris, it's on its way to you right now, right?
I have no idea. I haven't gotten any word that it's been shipped or anything like that, but I did register to get my copy. So,
okay.
Actually,
well, if it is a rebate,
faction, so.
Okay, if it takes more than a month for you to get the game, it's officially a rebate.
That's true.
It's officially a rebate.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
And then Dragon Age. Continuing on with my mage, but I think
cool.
In 2 weeks when Final Fantasy comes out, I'm gonna stop playing that again. So,
so I don't think you should be a mage.
I think
you should re-roll.
I started out as a warrior, and I got completely bored because I was a royal warrior, and I'm like, I'm just a normal guy. I'm just some normal dude, just like everybody else. To where I wanted a little diversity, and being kind of like the mage, to where you're like kind of shunned, you're feared. I like mm-hmm. that, and I've already made the decision. I'm going straight blood mage.
Oh yeah, that's right, true. But you're not going to make it that far if you're going to stop when Final Fantasy comes out.
Yeah, I know. So. Yeah. So, which I have anyway. That fully paid for too.
Me too. Yay! You buying the limited edition strategy guide?
No.
I only buy that because the Final Fantasy 12 one was so awesome.
Actually, it was. I have that one too.
It was good. Good stuff. Just to have like sitting on the coffee table, like people are like, "Oh, what's that?" And I don't feel like a nerd, be like, "Oh, it's my Street Fighter Final Fantasy 12
nice
hint book or a strategy guide." I got the. Did you pre-order? You pre-ordered GameStop, right?
Yes. Yes.
Did you get your? Well, you'll get it when you pick up the game. But I got mine the other day. The mini hint book they're giving away with those.
I wasn't worried about.
Yeah, I heard about that. I heard it was pretty much shit.
It's pretty much It's basically an instruction manual with a little bit of a walkthrough on the early part of the game, and it's basically an advertisement for the full strategy guide.
But what do you? That makes sense. What do you? What's the point? The first 75% of the game is like
tutorial.
Supposed to be pretty linear anyway. So
the whole like 80% of the game is like linear.
What do you need? What do you need?
I honestly don't know. I was reading through this. I'm like, this is basically a tutorial. It's telling me like what all the different bars are and everything. Hell, I'm like, this is a worthless piece of crap. What kind of incentive is this?
Well, I'm starting to get the itch for that game. Like,
me too.
Slowly, I'm like, oh, because we were talking about the last couple of days. We were in the thread, you know, talking to Scott about it. And, you know, I was just like, man, I'm really, really wanting this game really bad. I'm going to enjoy it.
I hear you.
Anyway, I got to stop talking. We're going 30 minutes just on my distraction, so let's move on.
All right. Jeff?
With the Final Fantasy 13 hype, I started playing Final Fantasy 8.
Cool.
So, I don't think I like the draw system in that game. I think that's that, and I don't think graphically the game does look better than 7, but the look of 7 better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, you like the style of 7 better?
Yeah, I like the style, even though the character's more
a little
blocky
weird,
and,
super deformed
like,
heads and stuff.
Yeah, but when I look at Final Fantasy 7, I still think to myself, like, okay, it's not a bad looking game, but when you play 8, and because they're trying to make it look kind of like
realistic,
and it's kind of like, ugh, like it's not, you know? And in some of the camera angles they chose an 8 for the battle scenes, I'm like, this is the worst camera angle ever. Like, what are they doing? But yeah, the game's it's still fun. I mean, it's still Final Fantasy, and I don't think the draw system, like, I'm not going to beat the game, let's be realistic. I'm basically, this is a stopgap between once 13 gets here, and I'm making a vow now that 13 will be the first Final Fantasy game I complete.
Believe that when I see it.
Well, I found out from Bleak Harvest that the save game in it, at least in the Japanese version, is transferable, which basically guarantees I can play it on both my PS3s, so I can play it in bed, and I can play it in the living room, so there's a good chance I'll put a lot of time into it. So yeah, Final Fantasy VIII. Actually downloaded the Dynasty Warriors Strike Force demo.
Oh, I did too. I haven't tried it yet, though.
That
how is it?
Bad. I know some people like it. I know it's like a niche kind of game, and it's got this like cult following. And I will not go against that, saying yes, it's like no one can find any fun in it, because you can find fun in it, I'm sure, if you're a certain type of person. But as a game, like it seems like a bad game based on the demo. There's slowdown right at the beginning, which I was like, well, this is weird. There's not even too many people on screen. The collision detection seemed way off, and it just seemed like I was mashing the buttons over and over again, and I'll admit, I didn't know what I was doing, but I mean, the graphics are pretty bad, the sound was nothing special. I'm just like, really? I don't see what people see in it, I guess. But
it's mindless destruction and fun.
There's better games that are mindless destruction.
Yeah, you're absolutely
though.
Right. I'll be honest, this is the first one that they've made that's been online, but it's also not
that's an
local.
Incentive.
It's not local multiplayer anymore.
Yeah. Were the other ones local?
Yes.
It used to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I know Crystal's a big fan.
Be, yeah.
Right?
But I know that, like, when I mentioned it to Crystal, and she's huge into the Dynasty Warriors series because she loves, like, the Chinese history and all that stuff and all the Romance of Three Kingdoms stuff. And she's like, I just don't like the way the characters look. They change them, and they don't look right. And, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
I mean, from what I hear, the characters look really weird now. Mm. So
I didn't find anything like pleasing with the aesthetic at all. And usually the Dynasty Warrior games, I do like, oh, it looks kind of cool, like those characters. And they do look cool in the 2D art when you're choosing them.
Right.
I was like, oh, this guy looks badass, I'll choose him. And then when they actually showed his, like, polygonal, like, doppelganger on screen, I was like...
doppelganger.
I was like, yeah, I don't know. And I tried to give it a try. I don't know. I mean, it's some people... Look, then again, I like Alien vs. Predator, and Alien vs. Predator on paper is not a great game. But the part that drives me in that game is the fiction, and multiplayer is fun once you understand it.
Right.
Which will lead me to Alien vs. Predator, and I was pretty down on that game the first week. I completed the Marine campaign.
Okay.
Which is nothing special. Pretty basic, pretty vanilla from beginning to end, but it does nail the feeling of Aliens and Predators. Like, you do feel, like, suspense mostly through the whole game, for the most part.
Okay.
But it doesn't do anything. Like, I mean, you still can't crouch, you can't lean, you can't do anything that shooters have been doing since, like, 2000. So it does feel...
You can't
feel,
crouch?
No, you can't even crouch.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's basically like Rebellion took their engine from 99 or 98, whenever they came out, and they just like reskinned it like in high res and stuff. But I enjoyed it. Like, I played all the way through. It took me about, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours maybe to do the Marine one. I started playing the Predator one, which he has cool stuff, but again, it's based on stealth, and the stealth seems like the first time you've played Splinter Cell, the first Splinter Cell, where it seems the enemies can see you once you're a certain distance, not whether or not they're looking at you. It's like,
oh,
you come up behind someone, if you're there too long, they'll all turn around, there he is! And then everyone knows where you are on the map. And even when you're invisible, like, I'm like, you have this ability where you can take one of the Marines and you set a distraction. So you just click X on them, that'll choose who you want to distract, then you just click somewhere else on the map, hit X again, they'll walk there because you distract them. So I'm sitting there like pretty far away. I'd say like on scale about 20 feet away in cloak. So I got my cloak on, invisible. He's walking like there's no way he's going to see me. He gets like perpendicular to me. So I'm not even in his line of sight. All of a sudden he just turns around and starts shooting. Like, there he is. And I was like, what the hell? This is like not cool. It's kind of like the developers want you to beat levels in certain ways, which is what Splinter Cell was like. And it just kind of was just a pain. I'm like, oh, this is... If it was released years ago, it would be acceptable, but stuff like that really ticked me off. But I mean, yeah, if it wasn't Alien vs. Predator, I wouldn't be playing the single player at all. Like, I'm
as the Predator, Jeff, can you like copy the humans' voices and like kind of call out to them and everything?
No, but that's exactly what the distraction is. Like, it's the same canned voice every time, but you'll do that and it'll be like, hey, over here, and it'll do it in the kind of like weird human Predator like voice, like you mentioned. But it's pretty much the same thing all the time.
You
so you can't really do
candy?
It. Yeah, you want some candy?
Nice. That would be great if they snuck that in there as a little Easter egg. Oh, that would be candy.
That would be pretty cool. But the multiplayer, I've warmed up to. At first, I liked it. Then I thought it was broken as hell, and there's no point in being a Marine. But now that I understand how multiplayer is rock, paper, scissors, and there is like a formula to it, it's made a lot more fun. Like, Marine is now... by far the most fun I have.
Really?
Species. Oh, yeah. Like, if they went from, I think they're underpowered, to having no chance in hell, especially in close combat, to now every time I've been in a Marine with me and Captain Harlock been playing a lot, we haven't lost when we've been on the Marine side.
Nice.
Because, like, I still think a lot of people, because the game doesn't really do a good job of explaining the mechanics of the melee combat unless you play the Predator single player. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure a lot of people probably aren't even playing the single player at all, because the multiplayer is what people are really playing, or they just haven't done the Predator stuff yet, because there's stuff that is just so simple to get kills that no one else, like not a lot of people seem to be doing right now with the Marine, and I think it's because they haven't played the right parts of single player yet. Hmm. But yeah, it makes sense. It is a lot of fun. So
cool.
And real quick, did you say you got the you have the 360 version, right?
I do have the 360 version.
Okay,
yeah.
And so, Sega sent us the PS3 version, right?
Right.
Yes.
Is it in the wrapper still?
Yep.
Cool. I'm going to swap it out for the 360 version. I hope Sega's not listening. I'm still going to play your game, Sega. I know you're there. Look, You know, your friends hey, of the yeah, show editing. Now. Your friends of the show now. Out, you're dude. Listening, but I'm still going to play the game.
But definitely do that, because me and a couple of people have been playing it at least a couple times a week, and we have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
Because it is one of those games, even when you are losing, like, it's the kills are pretty gruesome and stuff. And it's
right.
Like, when you see your own stomach being ripped out, your intestines, nice. With the nice. First person, it's pretty crazy. But, yeah, I'm having fun with that still.
Cool.
I actually did download Plants vs. Zombies. And
oh, did
and
you really?
I got on my iPhone. So I know we don't usually talk about iPhone games, but because it's on PC, like, this game is good. It's fun. And I think it probably plays
dude,
better on
quick,
the...
Dude, real quick, Jeff, you can talk about iPhone games all you want, dude. We're not going to stop you.
Oh, I know. You know,
if you download a game that's really cool on iPhone, talk about it.
Okay, well, this is a game that I think is, if you have an iPhone, maybe don't care about PC games, but Plants vs. Zombies... And I think it might actually run, I haven't played the PC one, but to me it makes more sense that this might play better on the iPhone because everything is touch-based, whereas on the PC everything's point and click, like click and drag. So in the PC you'd have to like click on whatever plant you want to plant, click on it, then drag it to the square you want to put it, whereas in the iPhone you just tap the plant and tap the square, tap the plant, tap the square, tap what, like you're tapping everything. So it seems like things can be done faster maybe, I don't know, just... a theory, like mm-hmm. I just haven't played it, but surprisingly, it's a lot of fun, and it's only $3.
Oh, that's
and,
cool.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's like 10 for the PC.
Yeah, something like that.
Do you know how much, they released the numbers today, you know how much they sold just this week?
How much?
They sold over 330,000.
Oh my god, are you serious? It's been downloaded
yeah, so
that many
it
times?
Was close to a million they made.
Wow.
Wow, holy crap.
It was that's 300... 330 something like that, yeah. But it was a lot.
That is pretty crazy. And I was impressed. Like, I got Tanya to download. I'm like, Tanya, you will like this game. Trust me, download it. It's right up your alley. It's strategy. You got to think fast. It's like really, it's really fun. The only thing is there's quite a bit of slowdown of parts if things get too hectic,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure is just the hardware, really, not the software. Because, I mean, PopCap are pretty damn cool. And I wouldn't be surprised if this game hits the other consoles at some point. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm going to buy this tonight.
Nice.
Later on, I'm gonna
it's fun.
Do that.
It is a lot.
$3.
Of fun, yeah, you'll
yeah.
You'll
it
like
is
it.
Still $10 on the PC. For mm-hmm. as a download from Steam, I should say.
Yeah, so $3. You're getting pretty much the same game. It's missing a lot of the other modes, apparently, but there is a section on the iPhone where it has like it has adventure mode. Then there's grayed out areas which I can't choose. So I'm thinking they might just come out with an add-on, which even if they charge like another $3 for that, it's still a pretty good deal. But they might add that in later. That's fun.
Cool.
Oh, really quick, I played some Symphony of the Night, Chris. You should be proud of me.
Yes!
Yeah, the other day I woke up and I'm like, I want to play something. I'm like, I'm going to play some Symphony of the Night. I'm going to start all over again. So I started a game all over again.
I've done that so much. I'm going to start over. And I get like 30 minutes into it.
I've never beat that game, so I always get lost.
and you can't
dude,
stop.
Dude, you beat Shadow Complex. It's not that much different, dude.
But Shadow Complex had the whole... color-coded things, like where you can go with what weapons you've opened and stuff like that, and Symphony Night doesn't have that, so I look at the map, I'm like, there's so many places
the
I
map
can go.
Is pretty intimidating.
Yeah,
doesn't
and I'm like,
Shadow Complex just point you in, literally point you in the
pretty
direction?
Much, it's
it
got
does,
that,
yeah.
It goes, yeah, puts you in the right direction where you
has
need to go.
Has the breadcrumb trail, just lead.
Exactly. Yeah.
Complex is like Symphony of the Night on easy mode.
Yeah, like yeah, for sure.
Super
definitely.
Fucking Jason.
Maybe I'll beat it one day. Hopefully. That's probably the game I've played, tried to beat the most times out of anything that I haven't beat before, I think.
Because it's so good.
It is good. And and luckily
and
it's
it
not one of the harder
up,
ones.
It still holds up, too. It's like, you pop the game in and, you know, even though it's God knows how many years old, it still holds up. It still looks great.
Yeah, and the curve of difficulty for it is not like a lot of hard Castlevanias. So it's tolerable.
Yeah.
But unlike Bloodlines, like, what was that, number two on your list or something like that?
Oh, on the most difficult game list?
Yeah,
it was number two.
That was tough.
Bloodlines was that was painful. Only Castlevania I've never beat, man. It's hard.
That's saying something. I guess one last thing that's worth mentioning is Bioshock 2. Play a lot more Bioshock 2.
Cool.
Progressing the story mode a little bit. And there's one thing I need to complain about, and... For the plasmids, it automatically refills your plasmid if you happen to have some stored, what's it called? What, tell me out here, Travis.
Plasmid slot?
Not plasmid slot, like the hypo needle, hypo, whatever, the thing
the
that replenishes your, the Eve needles, whatever. It'll automatically fill that up if you deplete all the way, whereas the health doesn't. So you can have like 5 first aid kits, and if your health runs out, you just die. It doesn't replenish it automatically. And I can't tell you how many times I've actually died fighting a big daddy or a big sister just by not paying attention for a second to my health, and I just die when it forces you to push right to refill your health if you have first aid kits.
Why, I didn't really have that problem, though, because, like, even if you're depleted to nothing, and you're at the point where the next hits, there's like a 2 or 3 second window to where it's kind of like a warning. The screen's completely red. You're in, you know, critical mode, but there's like a 2 or 3 second where you're kind of invincible.
Yeah.
You're kind of invincible to where it gives you that chance to hit that right button so you can hit it, though, so.
True enough, but why have that in there? Like, I don't understand why don't they just replenish it, because I guess I get focused too much of fighting the big daddy or big sister. Like, hey, what am I going to do? Switching weapons, switching plasmids, switching ammo types, and then now I got to keep track of my health. Like, it just seems redundant to have
it's
to
in
not
there
even just
replenish.
You can't
take a punch to the face. We're wearing a full suit of armor. That's why. It's ridiculous.
Huh? I don't get it.
It's ridiculous because you take too much damage.
You do take too much damage. Yeah,
it's
you do take way too much damage for being a big daddy, for sure.
Still a problem. I think that's one of the
complaints that I've heard from many podcasts, too, is that it's like you never feel like a badass.
No.
That's the thing. It's like, did you beat it, right, Travis?
Yeah.
At any point, did you feel like you were a big daddy ripping, tearing through shit?
Offensively, yes.
Okay, but defensively,
offensively,
no.
Yes, but defensively, absolutely not. And to me, defensively is where it's most important. Because you got to feel like this tank. All right? I feel like I feel that I could dish out some serious punishment, and you can. And it gets even better as it goes on, because as it gets more hectic, I mean, you're plowing through guys left and right. But at the same time, you have to focus more on hitting that right directional button to refill, you know, to hit your med kits before anything.
I'm guessing I'm close to halfway and I still don't feel like a badass pretty much anyway. I'm like, come on, a big daddy. Oh, but setting underwater sounds cool. Oh yeah, I'm a big daddy. Cool. That reminds me. Mm-hmm. And get into battle. Oh, what am I, a fucking little sister?
Yeah.
And touch
I
on
still,
the nose
I still
and
think
knocked out.
This game should have been a prequel. Stick it into, like, you're a normal human and you're right when the revolt is happening and you're having to go through that. So you get a little piece of rapture when it's
that
all nice.
Cool.
And then you're kind of living out the destruction, the actual destruction happening at that moment of rapture. I think that would have been the better way to go.
Well, yeah, to be honest, like, besides the fact that there's the whole mechanic of taking the little sisters and having them harvest the atom, maybe there's stuff I haven't reached yet, the storyline, but there's no other point to you being a big daddy, it seems. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't have they just made you a human and doing the same kind of thing that big, cause that would give it an excuse why
the
big daddy's gonna kill
you.
They could have taken that immediately or made some kind of story thing where they would follow you for some weird fucking reason. But I'm at the point now where I'm just harvesting every little sister I find because I'm sick and tired of having them lead me to a corpse and then having to have them sit and wait for to get attacked by wave after wave after guy. I'm like, I'm tired of doing this now. I just want to, I went from rescuing all of them to harvest. Cause I don't want to deal with it.
Well, but, when they had first mentioned that was one of the features in the game, I was like, oh my God, now they've given us escort missions. This game is going to be terrible. I have to say that they did make it more easily to tolerate. With the weapons you have so many defensive weapons in terms of like, okay, you get a trap rivets, you have your when you get the harpoon gun, you can set the harpoon wires to where if they cross the wire, they just get electrocuted. So you have all these, you have your proximity mines and everything. So actually, you can set up a defensive perimeter and just, you know, pull out a shotgun.
The first seven times.
So yeah, no, I do agree. It does get kind of tedious, but the way they set it up, it's a lot better than saying, oh, it's an escort mission, because it is a little more to it.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with you there. But yeah, other than that, I think that's the majority of what I've played this week. I played a little bit of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and stuff like that, and Street Fighter, but...
Sweet.
Yeah. Okay. Chris, what do you play, man?
Let's see here. Some more Mass Effect 2. Still playing it through... Well, I was playing it through on Insane. But it gets to the point where it's like... This game, like, just decides that Insane should be completely retarded and not give you any chance of winning at all, because the AI is stupid, and your squad mates just run out into open fire and like, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm dead. And that's pretty much the way the entire game goes on Insane. So you really have to micromanage your squad members, and it's really annoying.
That's how Dragon Age goes on normal.
And
on a console.
The being an adept, see, I would think that when it comes to like balancing for a type of game like this, and when you're trying to balance the difficulty, you know, you should feel like it's possible to continue regardless what class you are. As an adept, I am running around with a pea shooter and a rapid fire pea shooter. There's really nothing I can do. It's like I can't. You know, you have to wait for your powers to charge up, and granted, the powers on Shepard charge up very quickly, but for some reason, the powers on your squad mates take anywhere from 8 to 12 seconds to charge up. So, you know, how many times can I use Incinerate? And when Harbinger is coming at me full blast, and, you know, it's just, you know, and then there's a Scion in the background kicking my ass, there's really not much you can do. So I need to rethink my strategy, go back and choose a couple of, I think I need to choose different squad mates, because right now I'm on, let's see here, where am I? I'm on Horizon. So it's like that, it's like the second main big story mission. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got Garrus and I've got Morden with me, and that usually works pretty well for me. And this time it's not, because Morden's Incinerate does almost no damage to Harbinger's armor. So it's just like he just walks up and just doesn't care that he's getting shot by three guys and just walks up and hits you once and you're dead. So
that just doesn't sound like fun at all.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound like fun at all. It Mass Effect 2 on Insane just kind of runs 120 miles away from fun, turns around and says "fuck you" as it's running away. But yeah, I just feel like I need to rethink my strategy and keep trying. For White Knight Chronicles, I beat the game, beat the story mode. Turned out to be, a lot of people hated the story. I didn't hate it. I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it. And what basically,
it wasn't terrible,
but, basically what kind of happened is like you save the princess, right? And that's like the cliche storyline of the game. But another like more in-depth storyline kind of opens up while you're doing that. And you learn that it's kind of like this game's the first part in this story arc that is White Knight Chronicles. So if I didn't know there was already a sequel coming out, I would probably be pretty pissed with the way it ended. Mm. But because I know there's a sequel coming out, it makes sense, and I can deal with that. I'm really enjoying the game online. We had another White Knight this past week, and it was not many people showed up because most people were playing Heavy Rain. But I got to jump on with Lala Pantsu, and I think that's how you say his name on VG Evo, and he ran me through some missions to get my guild rank up. So I'm slowly progressing through that. But yeah, I am, you know, not as good. White Knight Chronicles is definitely not as good as I thought it was going to be, but I am not disappointed that I paid money for it. Let's put it that way. I feel like I have gotten my money's worth out of it, and it was not a bad buy for me. Doesn't mean it's a good buy for you. It just means it wasn't a bad buy for me. Let's see. What else? I played a couple demos. I played Fret Nice. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, that's the game you play with a guitar controller, isn't it?
Yeah. Hmm. Kind of, sort of. It's really weird. It's like two of the buttons on the fret, on the fret bar, are like moving forward and backward. And then, you tilt the neck of the guitar to jump, which is completely inconvenient. And then, to actually defeat enemies while you're going through this platforming game, you have to be in the air. So it's like you tilt the neck to jump, and then you like play the guitar, and it will defeat enemies based on what kind of enemies they are. It's really hard to explain. Depending on what note you play, it makes a different type of face that it's going to attack. It's completely hard to explain, but
so
like,
is this an XBLA game or is this
it's
like
XBLA and PSN? Yeah, okay. I got it on PSN. I got the demo on PSN, but it is coming out on both consoles. And yeah, just really odd. It didn't feel like the control was all that great. It didn't feel right with the guitar. But you know, I mean, someone I mentioned it about mentioned something about it on Twitter, and someone got me back to me and said. It is a great, he says it is a pretty solid platforming game. The controls with the guitar kind of suck. So use a regular controller and, you should have more fun with it. So, I mean, I guess I'll try that.
Doesn't
but
that take
kinda,
away the whole name?
Exactly.
Name
it really defeats the purpose of the game. I mean, I was expecting, you know, they've been working on this game for a while. I mean, they announced a platforming game using the guitar a while back. And it just doesn't feel like it was executed as well as it should have been. But yeah, so that's, and it's $15, and it's like $15 is a lot to spend on something that doesn't feel right. So
right.
I think that's a pass for me. I also played the Yakuza 3 demo, and yeah, it's a beat 'em up game.
Yeah, it's a beat 'em up game. Isn't it a little bit more than that though? Isn't it like? Like a
yeah,
GTA kind of?
Like, yeah, yeah. That's what the impression I had.
To an extent, yeah, but I didn't get to play all of the demo, but it seemed very methodical about the way you did things. It's like you walked into this bar and there was just like this conversation and then there was a fight scene. And the fight scene ended and there was a cut scene and then you walked out and you're trying to get to a different location. So as you go to that location, oh, no, you have to walk down this dark alleyway, and there's a cutscene. And then after the cutscene is another fight scene, and it's a beat-em-up game, pretty much, you know, in that portion. So, you know, I don't think the demo is very – it doesn't really represent what the game is, I don't think. I didn't get a chance to play it all the way through because I played it today, but I need to try and play it all the way through again and see where I end up.
So it's a beat-em-up. It's very Japanese.
It's very Japanese. That is
so true. you're kind of meh on it. So why should I play this and instead just go like go to GameStop and for $2 go get the Bouncer or something?
Oh,
game of the year.
That's like what would you rather do? Like friggin' stub your toe on a table or nail your penis to a burning building? That's not even a good. That was a terrible analogy, by the way. But
no, I am not saying that you should get it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm saying that I need to play the demo again because I don't feel like I got the full. I only got to play about 15 minutes of it, and I don't feel like I got really the full effect of what the game is.
Well, yeah, I was really excited when you said you were going to play it, and when you were just about to talk about it a few minutes ago, and all I've heard before this was, oh my God, there's such a following for this game. People have been clamoring for this game to come to the States, and oh yeah, and then I was expecting to hear this is going to be pretty fun, and so.
Well,
I gotta play for myself.
I did say there was a cult following. I never said I was part of that cult following.
There is a cult following. Right.
There very much is a cult following for the Yakuza series. I actually have not played them. I've always wanted to. It's just that isn't my backlog big enough at this point? So, picking up the demo for Yakuza 3 was a chance for me to get an idea of what it was. And I don't feel like I got an idea of what it is yet. So I'm going to go back and play it again, and hopefully I'll talk about it again next week, and, you know, maybe I'll have a little bit more to say.
Yeah, I'll play it too.
Okay. let's see. I think that is it. I played a little bit more Phantasy Star Zero, and yeah, I think that's about it. So mostly
no more Zelda.
White Knight.
Zelda's out of there.
Oh, man.
Zelda's been kicked to the curb.
I need a break from Zelda. Me and Zelda aren't getting along.
Fuck that bitch.
We're having a lover's quarrel right now. I know, right? So yeah, most of my time this week has been spent on White Knight Chronicles, which you know, actually did turn out to be worth it in the end for me. So we'll see.
Cool.
But that is it for me. So I think it's time to ask Jeff to do some news now that we're an hour into the podcast already.
Woot.
Cool. Yeah, I'll quickly run through some of this stuff. This isn't more or less news, but kind of like a rumor, not even rumor speculation. It's more of like a what if situation. Bungie in a recent interview was asked, like, what are they going to do after Halo Reach is done? Because are they going to go multi-platform? Because Bungie has announced that they are working on something else besides Halo, and they've been working on it for quite a while. They said that their future is pretty much undefined, and they don't really know what they're going to do in the future, whether or not they're going to go multi-platform, stay with Microsoft. There's even a small rumor that Activision might be publishing their next game, and that's a scary thought.
Yeah,
I want to see Bungie go down that road. But I think, again, this is like a really minor rumor that's like, there's just mutterings of it. But yeah, who knows? Like, if Bungie were to go multi-platform, that'd be pretty big if they were to release like a PS3 game.
This is something I wanted to ask you, Jeff. Do you really think Bungie going multi-platform would be that big of a deal? I mean, what would people recognize a game Bungie? That came out from Bungie instead if it didn't have the Halo name on it?
That's the thing. I equate Bungie to Insomniac with Sony, whereas they're both independent developers, but they're just very loyal and they've stuck to what they know. And I mean, Bungie's been independent since 2007, and Halo is a known, anything with Halo on it that Bungie makes sells a lot of money. Because I mean, I think Halo Wars kind of proved that a Halo game alone doesn't sell, but a Halo game with Bungie will sell, because every Halo game that Bungie's done sold like multi-millions, whereas Halo Wars did sell well, not that much. If they make a totally brand new IP, I don't think their name is really worth as much as if it had Halo on it. So I think it might be in their best interest to maybe go multi-platform.
But didn't Halo Wars sell almost like over 500,000 copies? I mean,
it sold really well. But I don't think it sold as well as people thought it would. The fact it has the Halo name tied to it.
Okay.
Like I mean, it's an RTS. Yeah, that's another knock against it, because it's not really popular on consoles. But I mean, everyone said if it has Halo 1, it's going to sell a million just because it has a Halo name. Well, that's not really true. Like, it's got to be Halo. It's got to usually be Bungie and be first-person shooter. And if Bungie's new game isn't Halo, who knows how it's going to do if people...
Yeah.
Who knows how many people
that's
Xbox kind of
my
60...
Thought.
Even relate Bungie with Halo. Like, I'm sure most of them do, but same thing with Insomniac. They might do the same thing as, like, hey, Resistance could do so much better if it was multi-platform, or if we had, like, a new IP. And I don't think
Resistance would do better, that much better multi-platform, because everyone on 360 buys Halo.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, too. They probably wouldn't go for Resistance, but there's a chance. But that's where I think, unless Bungie has some kind of deal with Microsoft, or they really, really just want to develop for 360, I could totally see them going multi-platform. And if it wasn't for the fact that Reach was coming out at the end of this year, I might even have had that in my predictions. Like, yeah, I can see Bungie maybe going multi-platform, but it won't happen this year, because there's no way.
Well, they might announce something this year.
I doubt it. I don't think they'll announce anything until at least Reach comes out.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Gets that out there. And then in 2011, sure, gates are open. But I don't know. I think it'd be kind of interesting. I'm just excited to see what Bungie can do besides Halo, because that's all they've done for the last 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So... Cool. Listen, well, when did Oni come out? I guess it doesn't really count, but
Oni was a long time ago. No, I don't think it counts.
And Oni wasn't that good.
I don't think anybody even knows that game exists.
That was my first
Bungie.
That was my first PS2 game I ever played.
Really? And Oni wasn't that good. So, I mean...
Yeah. And did you play your PS2 after playing Oni? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just checking, you know, because if that was your first experience, it might have been like, oh, first impression.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Exactly. I see what you're doing there. But yeah, so that's something to keep an eye on. Who knows? You know, talking amongst yourselves, some rumors. Hey, you know, maybe Halo subtitle, something different, will come out of something else. Actually, okay. It won't, but
no.
People
I doubt it, but people will dream.
But everyone dreamed about a good King of Fighters before 12 came out. Then 12 came out and kind of shat the bed a little bit. Made things a little bit messy between the sheets.
But the game wasn't bad. It's just that it didn't work. It didn't work online.
To tell you the truth, I don't even know if it was bad or not, because I didn't give it a chance. I liked the gameplay, but who knows if that shit was broken as hell, because I did think that the critical counters were cheese. I thought that was like, this is just ridiculous. It seemed like there was no skill in getting those off at all. It was like, oh, my critical counter thing's flashing. Mash on one of the fierce buttons and it's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, whoa, big comeback. But SNK announced King of Fighters 13.
I have one thing to say to SNK, and it is four letters. GGPO.
Yeah, seriously.
Get on that shit. Seriously.
Yeah, they're just...
Yeah, they got to fix that online.
No kidding.
They're stubborn. They still think, oh, they don't really, online's not that, you know, big of a deal. Like, yes, it is. Like, North America is the biggest game market right now.
Yeah.
If you can't sell to them, then your game doesn't really have that much of a shot of selling that well.
And Street
worldwide.
Fighter and Blaze Blue should be proof that people play fighting games online.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And... Yeah, but 3 is going to run on the same. It's going to run on the same board that 12 did, so I expect it to look pretty much similar. I hope they
clean up the sprites a little bit.
Yeah, I hope they draw the sprites at a higher res this time and make things look a little bit pretty. But they, you know, I'll give them another shot. Whatever, if they can nail the online. No release date, of course. So I'm guessing it's going to be this year.
They just announced it for the arcade though.
Yeah, just announced for the arcade.
They announced for the arcade, but that's pretty much. I can't think of any King of Fighters game that never made it to the home consoles. But I'm not a huge King of Fighters fan, so...
Yeah.
Me neither. I didn't even play 12. I don't even know what the box art looks like.
Box art isn't that bad, you know? That's why I haven't traded it in yet. I'm like, oh, it looks good on my shelf. That's fine, yeah. Dishwasher 2 was also announced, which is, I don't know if any of you guys played it. Well, I know Chris did, actually, at least the demo.
I played the demo.
It was like the first independent Xbox Live game that actually got picked up by Microsoft and published and put out there for like $10 or whatever. It was a black and white, like kind of side-scrolling beat 'em up that played similar to like a Devil May Cry with like air combos and stuff and lots of gore and blood. 2 was announced by, I think it's Ska Studios the name, still the dude. They're promising this time there's going to be 2 single-player campaigns and at least 1 co-op campaign.
Oh, that's cool.
So that is definitely cool, and there's no release date yet, but it's safe to say it's probably going to hit this year, and if it would be my guess, I'd say that's going to be one of the Summer of Arcade titles this year.
That would be cool.
Dishwasher 1 did really, really well.
Yeah.
Nintendo launching just a few weeks away, actually, March 28th, the DS XL, the DS Extra Fat, the DX...
Nice.
Will be $189.99.
Are we not there yet?
Not quite there yet.
I actually think this looks pretty cool. Like, I like the thought of a bigger DS. Like, bigger screen and everything. Still kind of skinny, but...
But it's not skinny.
It's
big.
It's huge.
It's fat. It's bigger than the DS Fat, dude.
It's no longer portable. And they don't up-res any of the screen.
This is the equivalent of the fucking iPad.
This is the iPad of the DS. This is the PSP Go of the DS. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think it's cool. I don't know.
Really? Do you have a DS? Do you have a DS Lite or DSi?
A DS Fat.
You have a DS Fat?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well...
No. I do it... Wait a minute. DS...
Yeah, which DS do you have? The one with the camera?
No camera.
Okay, does the GBA cart... If you put a GBA cart in, does it sit flush with the system?
I've never put a GBA cart
What in. Color is it?
It's black. When they started making the pink ones, because that's what I was looking for Megan.
That's the DS Lite.
Is that the light? Okay, yeah.
That's the light. Is it a weird freaking shape with weird angles?
Or is it a rectangle?
It's a rectangle.
That's the light.
That's the light.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember what I was going to say now. Discussion.
It's fat. It's pointless.
You were in the middle of shitting on it, pretty much.
here's my big problem with this system. Seriously, it doesn't like scale anything. It's just increasing the size of the pixels. And it's going to make ugly look uglier. And I don't want that. It's bad.
I don't think it's. And $189, that's $20 more than the DSi. $20 more. For a bigger screen with the same resolution.
Yeah.
And fatter so it won't fit in your pocket.
Well, I have to admit that only being $20 more is pretty impressive. But I want to see a DSi price drop.
Along with this. It's got to happen. Is there a Game Boy Advance slot for the DS XL?
No, why not?
Because that's the excuse for not keeping that in the DSi is because they shrunk it so much there was no room for it.
Because they're stupid. I don't know.
Because they're taking a tick mark off from that freaking Sony checklist.
Yeah.
PSP Go. Yeah.
And now there's rumors that the DS and the PSP 2 are both going to be shown announced at E3.
Well, can the DS XL do the WiiWare version?
DSiWare? Yes, it
DSiWare?
Can.
DSiWare? It can do that?
The DS,
okay, well, yeah, it can do everything
XL
the DSi
is,
can.
Right, it's a DSi that's extra large.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's interesting.
And it can hold you down in a windstorm.
Pretty much, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. Oh.
You could tie it to your dog, and your dog won't be able to go anywhere. Let's put it that way.
It's pretty big. Speaking of not going anywhere, somewhere no one goes on their PS3 is home. At least none of us have been there in a long time. Advertisers have been shying away from home. They say that the interface is a little bit too clunky, and apparently the price of admission to put ads in home is way too expensive and turning
really?
People away. Yeah, so I guess if you're not a Sony, I guess like if you're not an actual game developer, or actually no, if you're, I guess anything third party, basically it goes, this is coming from, hold on a second here. The guy's name is, whoa, wow. Okay, so John Rafferty, and he's saying there's a hefty monetary requirements for home ad campaign is a huge barrier to entry for advertisers. And then he goes on to say that it seems kind of clunky, and people who seem to go into home want things fast, quick, and easy, and aren't necessarily there to look at ads. So
why would you think people are there to look at ads?
Well, that's
hey,
the thing.
You know, I really want to see some random advertising. I'm going to go on to home. That's a great idea.
So yeah, so I guess advertisers just outside of first party, or I guess some devs or some outside advertisers that might have nothing to do with gaming don't see home as a viable source for advertising. Right. Which I mean makes sense. I mean.
All right.
If you're not doing anything to do with games, why would you even attempt to anyway?
Dr.
At least I don't
Pepper.
See the reason why.
I don't know.
But if you're pissed off, you can always start an online petition because those have what I think a 99% success rate.
Oh yeah, they work all the time.
Oh yeah,
that's
for sure.
Right.
Well,
oh wait, did you forget that decimal point in front of the 99?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Okay, there you go.
0.09.
Yeah, there you go. Want to make sure we get that right.
Well, there's a recent Sonic petition that has been going around. A lot of Sonic loyalists basing their petition on the quick few seconds of gameplay footage of Sonic the Hedgehog 4, which was announced a few weeks back, are saying
that looks great. Oh, good. I thought you were talking about a petition against my restaurant.
No, dude. Sonic the Hedgehog.
I thought
Hedgehog.
I was in trouble. With the success rate of those petitions, I thought my job was at risk.
Okay, seriously.
Continue on. I feel great now. Go ahead. Move on.
Oh, shit. Free burger to anyone who signed this petition on this date. I'm the only person who lives in your town. Okay. Yeah, but Sonic the Hedgehog 4, they released that video, and a little teaser trailer, and people are apparently up in arms, and they're saying, this isn't the Sonic, we're sick and tired of crappy Sonic games that don't, you know, aren't based on the earlier games, like Sonic 1, 2, and 3, we want that. What? Even though 4 does kind of look like those games.
Why would they think it doesn't?
I don't know. It doesn't, you know what, this article doesn't really say why they don't know why it doesn't, but this is what they're going to do in protest. They're going to buy Sonic the Hedgehog 1.
Oh,
for
okay.
download. So they're like, hey, Sega, we're not giving you any money for Sonic the Hedgehog 4 because we think it looks like poop and it doesn't look like any of the other 2D Sonic games. But instead, we're going to give you a bunch of money for Sonic the Hedgehog 1, which you've probably already bought a bunch of times.
And Sega's going to turn around and look at them and say,
you fucking idiots.
Who gives a shit? Because online petitions don't work, and Sonic 4 will probably sell anyway.
But that is the most ridiculous. Like, I'll show.
I'm not
them.
Buying Sonic 4. I'll buy Sonic 1 instead.
Which they're probably there's the over like the profit margin on that is basically 100% at this
exactly.
point.
Exactly. It's like
whereas 4 they still had to pay people to make the game. Yeah. So, you know what, guys? Go ahead.
This is the epitome of logic right here. This is awesome.
Yeah, sign that petition, buy Sonic the Hedgehog 1. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to release Sonic the Hedgehog fucking 5, make a little crap, and you're going to buy 2 all over again. And it's going to be a fucking vicious cycle. So, it's going to keep going around.
They're going to
pay. Woo, Sonic fans, you guys are awesome.
I really want to hold on a second. I have to look at this. I'm clicking through right now. Yeah. I really need to look at this.
Dude,
hurry
it's
up and load,
ridiculous.
Damn it. I want to know how many people have actually signed this thing, because this is what I'm thinking. It's like, what's coming out? It's going to be Sonic 4 Episode 1. You know what these fans that are protesting Sonic 4 are going to do? They're going to fucking fund Episode 2.
No, exactly. That's exactly what they're doing. Yeah. They're funding everything. This is like, you know what? Polyphony is looking at Gran Turismo Prologue and being like, oh, we fucked that up. We should have released Prologue and been like, made it look like GT1. We would have made so much more profit.
Oh, shit. All right.
Yeah, that was your news.
All right.
But you got to read that. It's. I read that.
It's still loading. I don't know why. I think my internet is having issues. I'm surprised I'm still on this fucking call right now. I wanted to mention a couple other things that you didn't mention. And
you know what? I did forget something.
These will be really quick.
Okay.
Super Mario Galaxy 2 has a release date of May 23rd.
Yeah. Yeah!
Hell yes, motherfucker!
Didn't play the first one, but
yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Did you see the video?
I did see the video. That drill looks
really
badass.
It looks hard.
It does. Well, we'll see. The first one was pretty easy, so I'm not expecting this one to be hard, but we'll see. Metroid Other M is going to hit June 27th.
Yay!
I can't wait.
How did
for
I forget these? Jesus Christ!
I have no idea, man.
That's why I send the email beforehand. I'm like, you know, usually did I miss anything? Let me know. You gotta show me up while we're recording.
I'm not trying. I honestly wasn't trying to show you up. I was just kind of scrolling through joystick while we were talking, and I was like, oh, we didn't talk about this. Nintendo has decided to publish Dragon Quest IX in North America, so that's awesome.
Oh, wow.
That is cool. That's supposed to come out in summer of 2010. I'm really excited about that because, you know.
Why wouldn't Square do that?
Level 5 fucking owes me, baby, for White Knight Chronicles. Dragon Quest better be fucking awesome.
Why wouldn't Square publish that?
I don't know. That's a good...
a guaranteed sell.
This is what happens. They said that they would consider localizing Dragon Quest IX in its next fiscal year, beginning in April. Just said consider it. And it's like, whatever, Nintendo is going to do it. Just let them. So, but I'm really excited because, you know, I mean, Level 5 developed Dragon Quest VIII, which was really cool, and I loved the style of it. I loved the look of it. And they also did Dragon Quest IX, so I'm looking forward to that.
Sweet.
The only other thing that I have that I wanted to throw out there I'll let you do that one. Monster Hunter Tri is coming out April 20th, and it will be free to play. Lots of people give a shit. Shut up.
I know.
I still don't know if I'm going to buy it, but... you know, it is pretty cool that they're releasing it. It's going to be free to play. It works with WeSpeak. They actually have a pack that comes with a classic controller for only an extra $10, which is basically a $10 saving. So, you know, pretty cool stuff. You know, I give it to Capcom. Hopefully they didn't make it. I really like the way that the PSP ones control, where you actually hit the buttons to attack instead of moving the right stick, which was weird on the PS2.
Dude, I gotta pee. Make this quick.
So hopefully they fix that. Okay, do your last one.
And Mass Effect, I think it was, we all hated the Mako, except for Travis. There's no vehicles in 2, but they're releasing Hammerhead.
Yes!
As a DLC in March.
It's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be the Hammer. That is the vehicle you see, you know, in 2, where you're flying around and stuff, and not the cutscenes, loading screens, whatever. It's gonna come with 5 new missions.
No, that's the shuttle. The Hammerhead's totally different.
Yeah, it is totally different, actually.
Yeah, it's a hover tank, basically.
It's hover tank, there's 5 new missions, fishing Hammerhead, heavy assault vehicle,
and
blow
the best
shit
part?
Up. Awesome. And it's 100% free to anyone who has a Cerberus network.
Which is anybody who bought the game.
Anyone who bought the game. Yeah. That's good.
I am so glad that I dropped my $60 on that game.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I have to pee so bad.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to take a break then, and we'll be back in a minute. And after when we come back, we're going to talk about our God of War ESRB ratings.
Yeah!
And then we'll do our new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
In his first
10. Sorry. It's time to wake up.
You know, when I was a kid, I was a hardcore gamer. There wasn't a single game that I owned that I didn't beat, and I was good. Like, I could beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One guy. But then the kids came, and the responsibilities. And I just didn't have the time or the motivation to keep up. My game backlog just kept growing and growing with each new release. I needed help. So I visited the Game Backlog support group on VG Evo. They helped me take control of my backlog.
The VG Evo Game Backlog support group is a non-profit organization helping gamers relieve their backlog troubles. Having a game backlog is a debilitating and embarrassing predicament. VG Evo is here to help.
I no longer have to lie about the video games I've played. I can finally say with confidence, yes, I have beat Devil May Cry. And you know what? Nero is a whiny bitch.
If you or someone you know is suffering from their game backlog, please contact www.vgevo.com.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Today, we're going over some contest entries.
Yeah, we are.
So the question of the week was basically what our contest was, and that was, what would your version of the ESRB rating be for God of War 3? We were asking for the rating and, you know, some of the descriptors that they have, but mostly the large description that they put on their website. We put up an example, as the Darksiders one, and, we're gonna come back to that later on, but, you know, I put that out there for an example. So those of you that actually sent us a description like that, we're going to read your descriptions and we're going to choose a winner on this show. And then you will probably be receiving your Amazon gift card this week. So, Travis, I'm going to let you take it away.
All right. Our first entry came from a friend of the show, Mr. Prime Buster from the Down to Ford X
nice.
Podcast. His summary, says, players will engage in fornication battles with many, many NPCs as Kratos fights his way to the top of Mount Olympus. Toys are used, such as the Blades of Athena, for often extremely gory results. Players are graded on their girth, longevity, and of course how bald the main character is. Other themes include the beheading of Greek mythological characters and throwing their heads down makeshift bowling alleys. Speaking of which, you're also able to go to pubs and play cards and darts. Multiplayer!
What?
Players are rewarded for their battle prowess and receive upgrades for their beard, gray skin, and tattoo that allow for even more badassery. Later on,
that's
in the
important.
Game, you open up a wrestling ring, which you can return to for SmackDown-esque shenanigans against washed-up wrestlers like Gregory Helms and The Rock. Kratos plays a lot
and
like...
Pacifier was a good movie. Was he even in Pacifier? I think that was Vin Diesel. Whatever.
Yeah,
anyway,
it was Vin Diesel. Kratos plays a lot like Kurt Angle does. Oh, and get this. Kratos finally kills Zeus and stuff. Whoa, spoilers! This game is off the friggin' chain, dog. 5 stars.
Awesome.
So apparently the cool. ESRB now rates the games.
Yeah. ESRB is doing ratings now. That's awesome.
The next one comes from our hometown buddy, Ryan Smith.
What's up?
Also known as Terran on VG Evo.
Hey.
And I'm gonna be honest with you. His ESRB got a little gangsta.
Gangsta
with an A.
So now, move out of the way, bitch. Get out of the way, wherever the fuck it is. Wow,
very
I butchered that. Move, bitch. Get out of the way. There it is.
Jeff, you're so white.
I know.
So,
I've been drinking some alcohol.
Ryan says, as his summary for God of War,
move, bitch. Get out of the way.
Close. He says, bitch, this is the third one. If you don't know how it be, you ain't gonna know. So you got your main man Kratos, and he all up in that heavenly Kool-Aid, bitch slapping Zeus and making
heavenly
Athena,
Kool-Aid.
Ooh, cray cray, be my baby daddy. But yo, man, ain't having it because little kids piss him off. And he don't want to go out like that bitch Cronus. So Athena... So Athena, she mad, but Kray don't care. He got mad Titan pussy, and all the Titan homies be hating. So anyway, Kray has to go through some quick time events and press X or some bullshit like that just to prove to everyone that he's balling out of control. The fighting in this game is off the hook. With moves so fresh, your mama wants some. He'll get with that too. He don't give a fuck about a vase. Your boy flies, fights, and moves boxes like UPS. Nobody can handle him. I think that red paint gives him the kind of power, but he'd probably kick my ass if he knew I knew, so I'll keep it on the low. This game is mature because Kratos don't like kids. If you, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to test his shit neither.
Okay. You gotta press X or some shit. Oh, that was awesome.
Oh my gosh. Oh. I'm so glad I don't read these beforehand.
That was really good.
I haven't read them either, Jeff. That's,
I know.
But the thing is that I'm trying to decide what's funnier, hearing you cracking up laughing or listening to what Travis is saying.
Oh,
haven't cried like that in a long time. Okay. Moving on.
Dog died.
It's our buddy Ross, Colonel Satan.
Satan.
What's up?
Satan. Yeah. Satan.
Whatever. His summary. You climb atop the hairy roasted backs of beasts from hell as Kratos, Sparta's equivalent to the fierce, malevolent, greenspawn creation Shrek, as he sends peanuts of fiery hate and ravaged fear upon the lands of gods. Sling your molten blades as the sanguinary hero, swinging like George of Beelzebub's jungle between the unsanctified, 2-foot-long ancient purple nipples of screaming banshees, where you will receive a first-person perspective flyby of the moistened, decrepit tendrils extending from the nether regions of these senile vultures.
Holy shit, dude.
Jesus Christ.
Find yourselves crawling and squeezing through the sloppy intestines of a heaving centaur, unsurprised at the sight of baby Jesus flipping records in the duodenal. Oh, I'm sorry. Flipping records in the duodenal shaft, bursting through the upper stomach wall and out the monster's chest as your gnashing teeth become imbued with acrid blood and fur, gasping at the glorious open air. One incredible sequence even involves the use of a cellular pager found in the college dorm bathroom stall, where Kratos discovers that the true purpose of his life can only be communicated using numbers.
What?
You know what? I think that entire thing was like 3 sentences.
Nice.
Next entry. It comes from Jeffrey Swanson. His rating summary says, "Women want you, and men want to be you. Your name is Kratos, once a mighty Spartan warrior and servant of the gods. After being fucked over by the Greek gods and Zeus himself, you are now on a mission of revenge. Expect uber bloodshed as you take your giant blades and shove them up the asses of mystical beasts and humans alike. Wield the power of gods as you make everyone your bitch and end this nonsense so Christianity can begin."
Oh, oh my gosh. I'm having to back away from my mic so I don't like max out Audacity over here. All right, continue.
Every man has his vices, so expect a mini game or two showing Kratos getting his groove on. Parents, relax. We'll show them so you don't have to explain it to the kids. This game will put hair in your chest and balls when you finish it. Wimps need not apply. You know what? If this doesn't win, at least that line right there will be a box quote. This game will put hair in your chest and balls.
Hair in your chest and your balls.
Oh my god. Oh, that was really good. That was really, really good. Next, coming up from our man Bubba Barbecue. All right.
Bubba! Killzone champ.
Killzone? In the third installment of the God of War series, players play the role of Kratos. And Kratos is one mean son of a bitch. Kratos slices and dices his way through hordes of enemies, leaving total destruction in his wake. Severed limbs, screams of desperation from the enemy are constant reminders of Kratos' rage. At one point, Kratos hops onto a cyclops, grabs the cyclops' eye, and proceeds to tear it out of his head as fountains of blood squirt all over Kratos. Also, a three-way sexual minigame is also found. Dialogue implies missionary intercourse and vaginal squirting. Kratos then appears on the screen with a smile as vaginal juices drip from his goatee. The smile then turns to rage as his lady friend is killed by an enemy that resembles Major Nelson. Kratos throws the man into the air and fillets his penis with a quick slice from the blades of chaos. Forces the enemy to eat his own filleted penis just before being fully dismembered. That is so gross.
Oh my god.
And I like how his rating is only mature.
Major Nelson.
His content descriptors right above the summary was extreme blood and gaping wounds, intense blade slashing violence, including decapitation, scantily clad dressed females, genital mutilation, nudity, and vaginal squirting.
Vaginal squirting. Oh my god.
Oh, man.
Okay. This Bubba. Is going to be tough.
Oh my god.
Wow, that was gross, buddy.
Oh, that's going to produce Ooh. Some pretty whack dreams right there. Wow.
Oh, man.
All right, so Chris, we have a voicemail, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
That we do. Let me go ahead and play that for you right now.
Hey guys, it's Fluffy Nuts. Calling up for your contest thing with the God of War rating, and I wrote some shit down. I'm going to read that. The first bit is a ripoff of Eminem, but get over it. Okay. The content and images contained in this game are totally fucked and should not be viewed by anyone with laces in their shoes. There will be blood, violence, and boobs. Maybe a bit of English. You will even rip the shit out of the other guy's guts and rip off arms and heads and eyes.
Nice.
Also, if you're one of them religious types, might as well skip this, because it suggests that there was more than one god, but we'll get ready to protest that bit. No swearing or drugs, I assume, since they probably weren't invented back then. Maybe some alcohol. Rated T for teen.
That rated T for teen. That's cool.
I'm so surprised.
And boobs. Rated T for teen.
Nobody has done that yet. Like, gave it like just like the lenient rating.
Rated A for everyone or E for everyone.
Rated EC for earlier childhood. Nice. Thank you, Fluffy Nuts.
Thank
that
you,
was
man.
Awesome.
That's fine. But you know what? You don't win because you're not drunk. I don't know how many times I got to ask you to call me wasted. And no. Thanks, though. That was awesome.
All right. Well, we have we do have one more, right?
Yeah,
we
but
do.
It's,
we do.
It's tough, though. You can't really read it.
Yeah, it's Confidence Man 2. And what he sent us is really, really cool. But here's the deal. If we read it, it would sound like a normal description.
It wouldn't be funny.
It wouldn't be funny at all.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at it, it is really, really clever. And what
it's
he
funny.
it is funny. What he did was he literally took the site picture like of the ESRB thing, but for Darksiders.
Yeah, he took a screenshot of the example that I posted on the site on VG Evo.
And what he did, he scratched out everything that had to do with Darksiders, which really wasn't very much, and he superimposed just God of War stuff in it. And he may have changed maybe 9 or 10 things.
Yeah, but it ends up working.
And it ends up working. It's like crazy. The majority of the entire thing, like 70 to 80% is still the original Darksiders description, but he has scribbled just a little bit of things just to make it, you know, add the God of War stuff, and it is really, really clever and funny when you read it.
Yeah, but if we read it right now, it would not.
It would
make
just
any
sound
sense
normal
at all.
Yeah, it would just sound like an ESRB description of God of War. That's
yeah,
what it
exactly
would sound like. So yeah, we're not going you to can read that. We are going to post it on the website with yeah the with the announcement of our winner.
Exactly.
And,
yeah,
and you guys will get a chance to see it because it is pretty cool. So please go check it out. InteractiveDistractions.com, and you know, we should have that posted by the time you're listening to this.
Yes.
So what we'll do now is we'll take a little mini break, and we're going to discuss who the winner should be, and then we'll come back, and we'll let you guys know. So hang in there, and we'll be back in just a sec. Okay, well, we're back and we have decided.
Your face
and it's,
is bad.
I think it was pretty much unanimous on how this was going to work.
But it was tough, though.
It was tough.
It was.
It ended
there
up
was
being
a debate
unanimous.
We almost came to fisticuffs, but then when we actually broke down every single entry, we were like, okay, well, yeah. Then it became unanimous.
The winner of the $20 gift card, which will be posted on the site tomorrow. So, you guys, it's already been up, so you
it
guys might already know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Taryn Smith.
Yeah.
That
gangster ESRB God of War thing, dude. That, like, I was sitting there like, you know what? I've been slacking lately at the gym. I didn't do my ab workout. But man, when I heard that being read, that's an ab workout for like the next 2 weeks. I'm set.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm gonna eat pancakes shit with a ton of maple syrup tomorrow morning. I got nice in my workout. That was good shit, man. That was funny.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Taryn. That was good. And thank you everyone who sent in an entry. We appreciate it. We got a good laugh and I hope that you guys did too. We're really hoping that you guys enjoyed, the way we're doing this. Next month, we're going to do the contest again, but we're going to do it differently this time. We want to do it two different ways and then give you an idea of how it would work either way and then let you decide on, what you like. But the contest for next week, which I will post on the which I will post on the site as well. I think this was Travis's idea.
Yeah, I think it was too.
And I think he wants you guys to name the beer that I brewed a few weeks ago. I will write up like a little description of what the beer is and what it tastes like. And the one thing that worries me about this one is that Jeff hasn't gotten a chance to try it.
Well, I'm not in the contest though. So
I know, but yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, well, here's the deal.
Bring one to MGC if you can make it. If you can't make it, give one to Jason or Travis.
There you go.
Bring
it over. Now, if you don't mind me adding on to it, now I do want the beer named, but there's a little special thing that I want for
commercial.
I wanted more than just the beer being named. What the contest is, and this will add more creativity than just naming it, we want you guys to write up a script for...
Oh, right.
A 30-second... A nice, quick 30-second commercial.
30 seconds is a long time, dude. It doesn't
have to
be 30 seconds.
Well, it doesn't have to be 30 seconds. It'll just be like a commercial with us promoting the beer.
Not too long, but enough to let your creativity show.
Like,
or your humor
show. Hey, Chris brewed a new beer. It's called this. Who? that is short, but hey.
And, you know, so we want you to name the beer, write a script, but be creative with your script. So you're pretty much writing it for a commercial, something that you would hear on the radio or a TV spot or something like that. All right. And what's going to happen is we're going to pick the best one. All right. And after we decide which one is the best, I've already talked to a friend of the show, Mr. Glenn Burgess, also known as Kill9 from the EDP podcast. He's actually going to help me produce the commercial. So when you win, whoever wins, you're going to hear your commercial being played. Probably not that episode, but maybe an episode or two. Whenever we get it finished, we're actually going to produce your episode and get it done. So whether it has male voices, female voices, if you have a specific music you want to play, we're going to get all that stuff set up, but you are the writer and we're going to produce it for you if it wins. But yeah, please definitely name it, because we've been talking about that ever since we've been started to drink this beer. Like, what are we going to call this? And like, oh, we don't know. So, give us some good stuff, guys, because we're really looking forward to it. And
like the last one, I have no doubt in my mind that we're going to get some really creative shit.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this one. You know, we'll see how it goes.
Should be fun.
Make us proud.
Yes. All right, cool. Let's get moving on. Should we do some new releases?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think I have something from Repeat. Let's see.
Probably the most interesting thing next week is the Mega Man 10 is hitting WiiWare. If you're looking at for another platforms, I believe PSN is next week, which is the version I'll be getting, and 360 is sometime towards the end of the month. I don't know why that's so much later, but yeah, whatever. I guess the Lunar remake is also coming to PSP, if that's your kind of thing, but I don't really care about that. So yeah, pretty much just Mega Man 10 on WiiWare, so pretty much nothing then.
Blast for me.
So is that the only thing that, he said the only thing that interests him, but there's a lot of big releases next week. There's at least one I can think of that's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, let me go through about what's going on. And Lunar's awesome. So
Lunar, love it.
I saw a review. I got the new Game Informer, and they reviewed the PSP remake, and it got a pretty good score. I'm thinking,
good.
Oh, really?
It good.
What'd they give it?
I think it was an 8 something, actually.
That's not bad.
No, that's really good.
Yeah.
Especially for a JRPG, and it's an old
on the
it's
on
a
the
really
PSP.
Old one too.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what we got for next week. For the PS3, Battlefield Bad Company 2, MLB 10 The Show, and Major League Baseball 2K10 are coming out next week. Mm-hmm. For PSP, as was already stated, Lunar Silver Star Harmony. PS2 is also getting MLB 2010 The Show. 360 is getting Battlefield Bad Company. Lips Party Classics.
Yeah!
Major League Baseball 2K10. And Toy Soldiers for Xbox Live Arcade, possibly. It's on the list, but, you know, whether or not it actually shows up is up to Microsoft, I guess. Let's see. The Wii is getting Mega Man 10, which was already talked about, and Alice in Wonderland, which is based off the movie. And then DS is getting Sonic Classic Collection. Alice in Wonderland, the movie adaptation, and Dawn of Heroes. And that is your new release list. So, pick of the week.
I'm going to go with Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Yeah.
Game looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not going to pick it up, but I've been so tempted. That game looks like it's going to give Modern Warfare a run for its money.
I'll use my Blockbuster Game Pass and pick it up, seeing that I'm probably not going to like Brutal Legend within the next couple hours, because I'm coming upon the RTS, and I'm not going to like it. So
yeah. Well, I'm going to pick Lunar, so it should be no big surprise.
Woo!
Super excited about that. I need a third version of the game. It is a necessity. All right, I am done, so I'm going to pass it back over to Mr. Travis and let you do some emails.
All right, starting off with Goffy's best friend, Necro. So, good episode last week, but I has a few comments about last week's show. First off, to Travis. I guess he's talking about Bioshock, but did you buy the 360 or PS3 version? The reason I ask, I have the 360 version, and I didn't see any real bad frame rate drops, although you can unlock the frame rate in the menu. Possibly that is just a PS3 thing, if that is a version you got. I did have the 360 version. It's just...
Wait, did you say it's only a PS3 thing?
No. Well, it's just PS3 if that's the version you got. He said possibly. He wasn't sure.
No, it's on definitely on the 360 version, 100%.
Okay.
I have it, and that's the only one I have.
I had already finished it to even check it, but I mean, I already brought it back to Blockbuster. So it's mainly when the guys fall, they just don't ragdoll. They kind of like, it's like a slideshow when they fall sometimes. Well, only when there's a lot of characters on screen. It's not as smooth as the rest of the game. And it's a problem for me. I don't know. So, number two, you could do the right stick click to aim down the sights and by fuck. Ugh. See, there's another one. Same. Anyway,
hey,
number three.
You know you could use iron sights in the first one?
Dude, number three. I hear you on your complaints of getting your ass beat as a big daddy, but I just popped Bioshock 1 back in just before I got on to write this, and wow, it's a lot, and I mean a lot tougher than Bioshock 2. Personally, though, by the end, I felt pretty damn powerful, and I even played on hard with Nova. Can you play with a boner? Anyway, with no, but he said he was playing the game. He was on hard.
Oh,
yeah, it sounded like a boner to me. Anyway, with no Vita chambers. Okay, well, obviously you're better in the game than I am. But like we said, offensively you feel powerful, but not defensively. And also, he finishes off with Bioshock saying it is his standing game of the year unless something else can knock it down. He loved it. Sorry, Mass Effect, I loved you, but you don't let me set someone on fire and then harpoon them with a bottle rocket so they go flying around all over the level. Lastly, Mr. Riccio and Mr. Canada. Yes, I ragged on God of War last week for the story,
and Travis agreed with us as well.
And yes, I love Ninja Gaiden. But I've come out quite a few times as saying that I don't give a shit about the story. And also, Mr. Canada,
we weren't even commenting on the story, but that's fine.
Mr. Canada, you said as well as just about everyone that Dante's combat and God of War's combat is better. If they are the same, what makes God of War so much better? Eh?
I didn't say elaborate? They were the same. I said that the fact that when you get orbs and stuff in Dante's Inferno, and you said you put them on a evil or good thing, that is the same the same mechanic but different template in God of War, whereas you're putting your souls into just depending on which weapon you said. I never said which combat was better or worse. Go back and listen to it again. I never once said one specific combat was better or worse. But thanks for trying. I said, where you put
and if,
your...
And if you don't care about the story, why bring it up when you're talking about God of War?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And for the record, I saw someone playing Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, and they were doing the same combo to every enemy, and it worked on pretty much all of them.
Yeah, it's just saying. It's grasping for straws. It's just, yeah, I want to like Dante's Inferno because it's different, and it's a lesser-known game than God of War because it's really popular. No offense to you, Necro, but that's what I'm getting the vibe from you is because literally they're pretty close to the same except for one's more tight and more polished than the other one. I'll let you guess which one that is, but yeah.
He might guess wrong.
he probably will.
All right, next email. Hey guys, JG92, here just wanting to know something. Firstly, do any of you purchase movies from the PSN video store?
No.
I just want to know because I just went on for the first time a few days ago thinking about buying Jennifer's Body, oh yeah, Megan Fox, and saw that it was £12. Then I looked on the HD version and saw that it was £15. What the fuck? I could pay £17 for the physical Blu-ray disc with the movie and all the extras. Probably with a digital copy too. And you can only download it once. And it's just over 4 gigs of memory. With my connection, that would take forever. How the hell does Sony expect to make much money off of this store? And secondly, fuck you. I love Tony Hawk Ride. It's great.
Oh, nice.
It's great. But then again, I have it on the Wii, which is supposed to be a physically active console anyway. So anyways, thank you for reading. Epic show. Guys, keep it up. JG92. Sent from my iPod.
I've never rented or bought a movie from the video store.
Yeah, me neither. So the closest thing was Netflix. That's it.
Yeah, I stick to Netflix most of the time. I do buy movies, but not as much as I used to. It has to really be a good movie for me to buy it, one that I really, really enjoyed. I think the last movie that I bought was Star Trek.
Yeah.
So.
And like he was saying, with only being a, you know, the HD version was £15, and he can go buy the Blu-ray, the physical Blu-ray for £17, and most likely there will be a digital copy on said Blu-ray.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah, that and me, I'm a stickler for physical copies too. I like the case.
Physical copies.
Yeah, so
I like having it on my shelf.
Yeah, and Tony Hawk Ride, gotta say, haven't played it. Though I saw the skateboard by itself, like at a GameStop for like $29.99, and I was thinking if that goes down in price just $10, I just want the skateboard for my man cave. Just
oh,
like
geez.
The, I'm serious. Just let it sit on the corner, like in a corner, or yeah, hang on the wall. Just you know. Oh, did you buy that game? No, I just got the skateboard.
Why would I buy that game?
Why would I buy that? The skateboard looks cool. Moving on, our buddy B Wrong. Hey, 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 God of War sucks. Kidding. Just can't wait for it.
Fired.
On to my questions.
I'm sorry, what was his name?
Nice.
It was Wrong. On to my questions. Number one, best game box art cover ever.
The Japanese version of Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
That's your favorite ever?
Yes. You've seen it, right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's pretty badass. Yeah. I love the art style.
Strider for the Sega Genesis.
Oh, man.
That is the worst box art ever in the history of box art.
Okay, if we're going to go down that route, I have to rethink my strategy here.
I can't pick a favorite, really.
Mega Man 1 for the NES.
Oh, God. That was really bad.
In recent memory, if there's one box art to me, and it's really... And this game just came out... People talked about this on websites all the time, but the fucking Borderlands box art with the guy holding his fingers up to his head and then the splatter coming out the other side, like showing some gameplay and everything like that. You know what I'm talking about, right? The Borderlands?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
that
you
was
guys
really cool.
Have the game? Okay.
Yeah, that was a really, really cool.
That's actually a really cool. I might have to agree with you. That's a really, really cool.
I really, really like that box art. Same for Left 4 Dead. Like, I like the original Left 4 Dead box art. That was cool too.
Yeah,
that's all I can think of.
That's fine.
I can't think of like I'm more of a fan of like simple box art. That's kind of like nothing too in your face and just more like.
Yeah, I know a lot of people say that they didn't like it, but I kind of liked the Dragon Age box art. You know,
I love the Dragon
how
Age
simple
box art.
And,
that's one of my favorites. This generation.
Yeah,
like,
it was just kind of elegant cool. In the way they did it, and you know.
I don't think it's a cool fucking bloody silhouette of a dragon with the characters drawn inside of that. I think that was pretty cool.
It reminded me a lot of the Borderlands one. Actually.
It gets your attention. Yeah. When you're looking at a big wall of games and you see a pure white background with a bunch of like a red dragon. That's gonna catch your eye. Exactly.
Yeah.
I like that one. That's a good pick, Ricky.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Cool deal. Question number two, the hottest girl in the gaming industry. And one of the examples he has, Jessica Chobot.
Oh, fuck that.
Does she even know what a game is?
She knows what a PSP is.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to... anyway, finish the email, then I'll go on my rant.
No, that was the question. Go ahead.
Yeah. Why wouldn't she?
I think she's sexy as shit.
Why wouldn't Morgan Webb be a gamer?
Oh, yeah.
Like, seriously, why not? I think people label Jessica Chobot and Morgan Webb and, like, these female icons in media and video games. It's just because they're actually good-looking, questionable, depending on who you are, that they officially don't like games. Jessica Chobot has been in the industry for a long time. Are you telling me she does not know a thing about games? Like, really? And Jade Raymond was hot as shit. She's now the fucking head designer at Ubisoft Toronto. And people made fun of her when she was doing the whole Assassin's Creed thing. Because she's hot. Because people do not want to believe that attractive women can know anything about games. It's kind of like a sense of denial in their brain. Like, it just cannot happen. Jessica Chobot, you know what? Yeah, I think she does know a lot about games. Morgan Webb, same thing. She's been on X-Play for freaking years and years and years. Why wouldn't she?
And I think, man, I'm one of the few people that think she is gorgeous.
I think Morgan like Webb is hot. I'm not gonna lie.
She may
be
really tall, but man, she's pretty.
Yeah, I don't see I don't see the Viking chin at all. Everyone's like, she's got a big. No, I don't think so. Like,
I don't think.
But
so.
But then again, Adam Sessler's a sexy bitch, so whatever. And he's. Yeah, I'm just kidding. You can cut this out, Travis. I really don't.
Okay. No, I'm totally not cutting that out. Anyway, Chris, do you have any other late entries?
I was going to say Jade Raymond. Because, yeah, I mean, Jessica fair. Chobot, I mean, she's all right looking, but I don't know. I think Jade Raymond's hotter.
I think I totally missed this question. What was the actual question?
Hottest girl in the gaming industry.
I am totally fucked up that question. I thought it was, yeah, okay.
You thought it was, do women in the gaming industry actually know what they're talking about?
That's pretty much what I thought it was. I think I got sidetracked somehow, but I wanted to get that off my chest for a while anyway, because I am sick and tired of hearing people in there, Jessica Chobot's not a gamer, Morgan Webb's not a gamer.
Yeah. Well, they are not just, they're
there for
a
fucking reason,
about, yeah.
People. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I would go with Chris. Jade Raven, I think, is probably the hottest girl in developing, producing, whatever right now. I think so.
Yeah. All right. Number three. And finally, the last question. Favorite or loved Kung Fu movie?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
While you guys think about it, I've never been into the Japanese Kung Fu movies.
Neither have I.
To me, the only martial arts movie I really enjoy is The Matrix.
Really?
That's the only one. I consider that a martial arts movie.
You don't consider that martial arts?
I don't either.
Have you seen the
action movie?
Dude, have you seen the making of that movie?
Yeah.
If you watch, there's a lot more to it than that. If you watch martial arts movie, I think it's all about the martial arts.
And
the Matrix is not like
that. Like Ong-Bak or something.
I completely disagree. There is so much martial arts in that movie.
I'm not saying there's not, but I don't consider it a martial arts movie.
Yeah, neither do I. There's a lot of martial arts in it, but it's a bunch of wires and people, fake
like
special effects make them look like they're doing martial arts.
Just because it has RPG elements.
I don't agree. I think it is a martial arts movie.
Okay, who in The Matrix do you think can actually do martial arts well?
It doesn't matter. It's still a martial arts movie. It's what they can do in the movie.
But everything they're doing in the movie is fake, though. It's done with wires and a bunch of CG, like animation and stuff like that. None of it is real. That's not like the
actors
actually
tell me.
Doing...
Okay, then Jeff, you obviously have not seen the actual like 1 hour making of them fighting each other.
Are you talking about the first one or the other two?
The first, well, the mainly the first. Well, actually, no, it was the first and the second one.
The second one was pure CG and wires and like.
But that first one, man, dude, I'm serious. And even
there's no doubt that they had to go through a lot
even
of training.
Even in the first one, I can't think of.
Movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a martial arts movie at all. Like, I can't think of one scene in the first one that would stack up to a great martial arts movie, even released in the last five years.
Okay, there are more martial arts in these your Bruce Lee, your Jackie Chan films, and all these other stuff like that. Okay, but those are more of martial arts movies because they are truly like all martial arts. But I think it's got to be. Yeah, I'm sticking with it, man. It's a fucking martial arts movie. I'm sticking with it.
Except for that dojo scene, it's
a hybrid.
Like
you have your martial arts, you have your science fiction, you have, you know, a really interesting story, at least for the first movie.
But I'm trying to think of where is there a martial arts scene, a pure martial arts scene in The Matrix, the first one?
Oh my god, the whole fucking movie, just because they throw in a couple wires. Dude, there's wires and special effects all in fucking Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, but the difference is every actor in that movie actually knows martial arts, and they're a black belt in some kind of martial art, one way or the other.
this is a huge rat hole, guys.
It is a rat hole, but they actually know martial arts.
Here's the deal.
Keanu Reeves is like, hey, we're going to choreograph this shit, so here, do this kick. You don't really know why you're doing it, but do this here, do this here, do this here, do this here. It's like an action... Like, there's martial arts in every action movie, but you wouldn't call them martial arts movies. Like I wouldn't call Street Fighter a martial arts movie.
In the long short of it is, this is just going back to the Crackdown superhero game or not.
And we're right about that too, so it's fine.
So, okay, you know what? I'm calling out for the people. I want the people to write in. I'm serious.
That's probably,
write in, not a good idea. Write
dude.
In to call in, guys. All right, help us settle the score.
All right. Is
you,
the Matrix trilogy
the Matrix,
martial arts movies?
Can you consider it a martial arts?
That's probably not a good
idea. Can we move on?
Yeah, I think we can. But if I had to pick a favorite, dude, I can't even. Like, I can't remember the last time I really enjoyed a really good one since, like, say, like Bloodsport or something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like when Jean-Claude Van Damme was actually making good movies.
Yes. Well, Well, like, what that we look at is good movies.
Yeah, what
now.
What would be looked at in the martial arts movie scene as
Time
a
Cop.
Good movie?
Oh God! Hey, the girl was
Buster. I like Time Cop.
I'm gonna pick Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's a good one, actually.
I love the first one.
That's
awesome.
A really good one. Nice. All right, well, moving on, guys.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Our main man, Lee Kelly, says, "Hey, guys." Liam here again. But not to answer your question of the week as per usual, mainly because I am perhaps one of the least creative people on the face of this fair earth. See? So I decided not to enter your ESRB contests, and exams have been kicking me up the arse lately.
Okay.
Anywho.
Exams I can understand, but I mean, I think you guys are cutting yourself a lot shorter than you should. I mean, people that don't think they are creative can come up with funny shit. It's not, you know, outside of the realm.
Yeah.
So.
I agree. I definitely agree.
Give it a shot.
Yeah. Give us a commercial, buddy. Anywho, he says, guys, just emailed in to say, keep up with the good work. Love the podcast, guys.
Well, thanks, man.
Lee Kelly.
All right. Appreciate that.
Cool deal. All
what
right.
You got?
Well, that's it for me. If we have any type of voicemailage.
Hey, I think I do have one voicemail.
Nice.
Let me go ahead and play that. Right.
Hey, Kusanagi here with a voicemail response. Not to your question of the week, unfortunately. I'm not that creative.
That's
but I do have a few random questions for you guys, just two of them. Here we go. Question one. What is the video game you are most hyped for this generation? Jeff, you are not allowed to say God of War 3 or God of War Chains of Olympus. Travis, you are not allowed to say a Madden, and if you were hyped for a Madden, that would be pretty embarrassing, but I don't know. What series you are a fan of?
Fuck you.
Chris, I don't know if there was I'm not a Castlevania fan or a Phantasy Star fan, but if there were any releases in this generation for any portable system or whatnot, you are not allowed to say those either. Question two. If you could spend a weekend with a video game character of your choice, who would it be? It could be any character, even if he's not human or not, you know, livable on Earth. Just be, like, in your imagination, who would you like to spend a weekend with? Any video game character you just love and adore. No homo.
No homo. Nice.
I'll call you up, Travis, man. You said that Metal Gear Solid has not ended in terms of, you know, the franchise and whatnot. Now, Metal Gear Solid comes from, you know, generally the character Solid Snake. Metal Gear Rising is called Metal Gear Rising. It's not called Metal Gear Solid Rising. It's based on Raiden. So far, that's what Hideo Kojima said. Solid Snake is retired. And Metal Gear Portable Ops, Peace Walker, is based on Naked Snake, a.k.a. Big Boss. Solid Snake is done, and Hideo Kojima has kept his word thus far. Metal Gear Solid 4 is the last chapter with Solid Snake. So technically, Solid Snake, the Solid Snake portion of Metal Gear Solid has ended. It has. So yeah, just saying. Yep. Alright, I just read this little news article saying King of Fighters 13 has been announced, and I honestly think that SNK might have a grand opportunity. Who gives a shit?
Nice.
Yeah, who gives a shit? I do not care, man. I see it when I believe it. You know what, SNK? Fuck you!
Yeah! Nice!
Nice!
Okay, before we get to the random questions, can I scroll his ass real quick?
Uh-oh.
Okay, with Metal Gear Solid, Eddie, I didn't say anything about Solid Snake. I said the overbranching Metal Gear story. Now, Metal Gear Rising, you know what that's going to be? Since he's back in his robotic outfit, it's going to be the side story in between Metal Gear, before Metal Gear Solid, in between 2 and 4, where Raiden is going to save the girl. He's got to go get Olga's daughter, Sunny. He's got to get her, and it's going to bridge the gap between 2 and 4. That's what it's going to be. So it's still in the Metal Gear Solid storyline, so they're keeping within that story arc. And then I never said that anything about Solid Snake, but you had mentioned that the Metal Gear Solid story, yeah, even though Solid Snake is the main character, the overall thing is it's Metal Gear Solid is about Big Boss. When you come to think about it, it's all Big Boss. Solid Snake, yeah, he's mostly your main character, but from start to finish, and it starts at Metal Gear Solid 3 with Big Boss. He's a big thing, and Big Boss had a big presence in Metal Gear Solid 1. He had his presence in Metal Gear Solid 2. With Metal Gear Solid 3, of course, he was the main character. And now in Portable Ops, he's the main character, and it's a Kojima said it is canon. They're not letting go. Whether it's called Metal Gear Solid or Metal Gear Douchebag, it is all on that arc. If it's Metal Gear, they're going to keep it in that storyline. They're never going to deviate like he said he was going to. He's never going to, whether Solid Snake's in it or even has a presence or is even mentioned or not. They're never going to deviate from that storyline, and it's piss poor. And that was the point I was trying to make. Make new characters, make a new storyline, start fresh, be bold, do it. Final Fantasy, you got to give Square balls, all right? You know, they came in an industry where you can say, okay, boom, Final Fantasy 1 worked. Let's stay in this world. They said, no, it's going to be different. It's going to be different every single time. And they do that. For all the proper Final Fantasies, they did that. And that takes balls to take something, and even when it sells millions and millions of copies, and it's starting fresh. All right? Kojima should take a page. Either do something new, or if you're going to do something new with Metal Gear, like you said, it's going to be different. The story of Solid Snake is over. End it with that and do something completely different. And they're not going to. And that's what pissed me off. So, fucking lawyered. Move on to his random questions.
I love that.
I love you, Eddie, man. Like, dude, you're the shit. I love you, buddy. Awesome. I'm just playing around. You know it. Video game that we're most hyped about this generation.
Outside of our normal franchise.
Yes. He gave us
kind of sounded like he wanted the one that we were most hyped about, like that's already come out. Because he mentioned Chains of Olympus. Which has been out for God knows how long.
Oh, a long time.
Yeah.
Well, so he said,
was the question?
The most hyped game.
Sorry, what's the game this generation?
This generation.
The high, most, why would he say Chains of Olympus?
I think he meant to come. I think he meant to come. Not.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm confused where the Chains of Olympus thing came from.
Right. That's what I mean. Cause it sounded like he said that, you know, you can't pick Chains of Olympus. Like that was your most anticipated game.
So what is the most anticipated game this year?
Yeah.
This generation. What's your most anticipated from here until whenever? What's a coming soon game or a coming not so soon game that you are anticipating? That's not God of War.
And he said Canada that wasn't God of War.
Right.
I'm going to say at least this year it's Halo Reach because okay. I want them. It looks fucking awesome and I hope it's the game I've wanted for years.
All right.
Halo Reach.
Travis?
I wish you would have asked this question last week because it would have been Heavy Rain. I waited since literally the E3 in 2006 where they showed the audition, the tech demo.
Yeah.
This game has been a must for me for 4 years, and it's finally out. So, you know, I'm still going to stick with Heavy Rain. It came out last week. Give me a pass, man. Give me a one-week pass. Give me that handicap. I've waited for this for a long time. And this was the only game that I wanted. If I had to buy one game, it would have been this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, mine was White Knight Chronicles, and now it is my most disappointing of this generation.
Could this possibly get our Lair Award 2010?
No, it won't get a Lair Award from me because I still enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it enough to put more than 30 hours into it and beat the game. So
right.
Well, he said I can't use Castlevania, so I can't say Lords of Shadow. But he never said I couldn't say God of War. He said that to Jeff, so I'm going to say God of War.
Cool.
Cop out for the win.
I was going to say big fucking cop out there.
That is not a cop out. That is going to be awesome.
Honestly, I can't think of anything else that's coming out that I'm really, really excited for. You know, I am really, really excited for, you know, he said I couldn't say Phantasy Star and I couldn't say Castlevania. Well, I'm looking forward to Phantasy Star. I'm looking forward to Castlevania. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that other than those and God of War right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There you go.
But you're really excited for Reach, aren't you?
Totally. It's my Halo favorite Reach game around. Of all time. You know how much I love those Halos.
Finally, Travis and I can be excited to get Halo Reach on the first day and we can play it together.
Dude, fuck that. I'm ready for the beta.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Dude. We're going to be all over that shit.
Damn
it's gonna
right.
It's going to be mandatory Reach around.
Damn right. And then we're going to play the game.
I have a non-cop-out answer to this question.
What?
Crackdown 2.
Nice.
Okay, yeah, that's very nice. That's yeah.
I could be
possibly
for
the
that
most
answer.
Disappointing game on PS 360 this year, but
yeah. It could be. I'm just hoping it's not, you know.
Yeah. It looks cool.
It's majority the same people cuz you know the guys over at Ruffian or a lot, like, well, at least like 50 or, I just heard a interview with them, like 50 or 60% of them, it's still like real time worlds, like half of the team. So it should be good.
Yeah. Yeah. I could also say Infamous too, because Infamous is fucking awesome, but you know.
Yeah, I love it. I don't think it's going to make it out this year, but.
No, I don't think it'll be out this year either.
Well, I'm sure we'll see it though at E3.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Sure. Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. All right, let's do, that's all the emails, right?
That's it.
All right, let's do questions of the week and get the fuck out of here.
Cool.
Let's do it.
Next week, we are going to be talking about the Wii. That's right. We are actually doing a show that is focused around the Wii, believe it or not.
Isn't that insane?
That is insane.
And it's not about a Mario or Metroid game per se, or Zelda.
That's right. So the question of the week is, why?
Or what console would you like to poop on?
I'd like to poop on.
Which console do you poop on most often? Question of the week next week is, why don't hardcore games sell on the Wii?
This is a really good question.
I know. I want to hear what people say.
We should probably bring in somebody who kind of knows what hardcore and maybe has a Wii to come out.
Someone who's been burned too many times.
Yeah. Someone who may be the better half of another podcast that's on the VGEvo Network.
I'm not sure if you should cut that or not.
No, keep that fucking shit in because it's fucking true.
Well, we're keeping it.
All right, so if you want to answer the question of the week, and I hope you do, please send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's almost late, but it's not.
Long-distance charges apply. Apparently, I'm supposed to be saying that, but I always forget.
Oh, is it really? Oh, yeah, I guess it would be, because it's a phone number.
Yeah, use your cell phone.
Yeah.
You can also follow us on Twitter. It is our Twitter name is Indus Podcast, and you can follow us individually as well. It's Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff!
Every time you think about adding us and don't, a kitten dies.
No, oh, God.
Before or after
it's raised. We also have a Facebook group, and that is the Interactive Distractions Podcast group. And I think that's it. Do you guys have anything else to add before we wrap up and get out of here?
I don't think so.
Fuck Bioshock 1 and its iron sights.
Hey, Travis, let me help you to cheer up a little bit. Ready? Mm-hmm. In less than 2 days, we're going to be talking about Mass Effect.
Ah, what?
Cool. All right. Well, that's all I've got. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. And if you
Twitter winner for TVC.
I didn't announce on the show who that was. I did announce it on Twitter, and the winner was Snakeozilla.
What? Snakeozilla!
So Snakeozilla is the winner of Tetsunoko versus Capcom, and I will be sending that to him early next week, I am sure. He's already been notified on Twitter, and he's already replied to me and said, "Woot, cheers!" So thank you guys very much for entering. That was our first Twitter contest. Hopefully we'll have more of those to come as well.
We will.
Cool. All right, that's all I've got. So we're going to wrap this up. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review. And if you're on Zune Marketplace, also, please leave us a review. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.